Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 196 for the March 2024 solicitations.
In this episode, we'll be going over some of the items in the upcoming solicitations that you might find interesting. Now, comics are a pre-order business, so whether we like it or not, it behooves us to take a look at what's going to be offered a couple of months out and let our retailers know so they can order appropriately. Now, these episodes have an open submission policy, and I encourage you to send in clips to promote the comics you love as often as you can. Now, there are thousands of items solicited every month, and it's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle, or just fly beneath your radar. We'll be starting with the DC Connect catalog, followed by the Marvel's Previews catalog, and then working our way through the Diamond Previews catalog. Obviously, we aren't going to go item by item, or page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights, and those highlights are picked by people like you. So with that, let's get going. My first pick is the pre-order catalogs of DC Connect, Marvel Previews, and Diamond Previews. I find these incredibly helpful to find out what's coming out a few months from now and kind of plan my order appropriately. Sometimes there's stuff that sounds good on paper, but I look at the art, or something about the solicitation doesn't work for me, or there's something that I wouldn't have noticed unless, you know, the art had caught my eye, or the solicitation looks pretty cool, or something like that. Matter of fact, there have been a couple of times where I'll see something and realize I missed the first two issues or something like that, and go order them. So just flipping through these catalogs is kind of my monthly equivalent of the old Sears Toys catalog when I was a kid, of, you know, finding out what cool things were out there to be had and then making sure I got them as best I could. So whether you get the printed catalogs or not, this information is available online at the various websites for the distributors and the publishers and such. Comics are a pre-order business. It makes sense to know what's coming out so you can let your retailer know so they can have it so you can get it. So once again, my first pick is the pre-order catalogs of DC Connect, Marvel Previews, and Diamond Previews.
Hey, this is James here, and for my first clip in the DC Connect, I'm on page 2. I didn't have to go very far. When I first looked at the DC Connect, I saw the artwork and I was just like, not for me, it's a kid's book. And then I kind of went back through and reread it, and I found out this may be a book for me. It is called The Boy Wonder. It's written by Junie Ba. Honestly, never read anything by Junie Ba. I have no clue who Junie Ba is. And the art and cover is by Junie Ba. And that's the part that kind of threw me, because the art looks almost like it should be a kid's book. But this is apparently Black Label. Because if you look at the cover of the DC Connect, it says a 5-issue DC Black Label Epic. So anyways, the reason why I'm going to be picking this is I'm a big fan of Damian Wayne. I'm a big fan of Talia Ghul, Ra's al Ghul. And this is the Batman and Talia's son, basically Damian. That's the girl interest I like for Batman or Bruce. And this is the Robin that I like the most of all the Robins, even... I know a lot of people like Nightwing. I'm a Nightwing fan, but I really like Damian just because his personality and characteristics. But this one's supposed to, it says basically on the cover, you know, Damian Wayne learns what it's like to be a real Robin. So we shall see. It says, the young prince Damian Wayne was raised by the heir to the fearsome League of Assassins to follow the footsteps of his deadly mother, Talia, and the demon's head himself, his father, Ra's al Ghul. But everything changed when his father, the Batman, I don't know why they don't say Bruce Wayne, reclaimed him and brought him back to Gotham City. As Robin, young Damian suddenly discovered he was merely one of a number of princes preceded in the role by his brothers, Nightwing, Red Hood, and Red Robin, and Damian doesn't care to be merely anything. But when his father is forced to leave the city on urgent business and a rash of abductions is accompanied by whispers of a demon stalking Gotham's dark alleys, Damian will find himself battling alongside his adoptive brothers, and in the process, learning what the mantle of Robin really means. So it's not, it sounds kind of like a cool premise, it's not Batman molding Damian, it's going to be the previous Robins molding Damian into let's say the perfect Robin. I don't know. He has enough of a feisty personality. I don't know if he'll listen to him, but I'm on board for it, even though the art is really something that kind of looks jarring. And the other thing that it may be a turnoff for you guys is it's a $5.99, which is $6 book. It's one of five. So this series is going to cost you probably $30. And the reason being is these black label books tend to be, and if I had to guess, a magazine type size book. It doesn't give me, I'm literally looking at it. It doesn't give me, oh, it says 32 pages. It doesn't give me a dimension though. So I'm just looking all over this thing. I'm guessing it's a magazine, or I have no clue why a 32 page comic would be $5.99. So that seems kind of pricey. $6 for a brand new comic. But if you are a Damian Wayne fan like me, this is something you probably want to pick up. And on to my next pick.
My next pick is on page 7 of the DC Connect, and it is Nightwing 114. We've got Tom Taylor writing, and we've got Bruno Redondo back on the art, so we're getting those two back together. And this is starting the 5-part Fallen Grayson storyline, and this is apparently the culmination of Heartless's sabotage on Nightwing reaches its dramatic conclusion. Or at least dramatic climax. I don't know if it'll ever conclude and stuff. This whole Heartless stuff, I mean, that character was introduced back in number 78 about 3 years ago. So I'm glad they're coming back to it. I'm glad they're doing more. I'm really glad Tom Taylor and Bruno Redondo are going to be working together on this. I think they've done some terrific work, and I'm looking forward to reading it. So once again, that's Nightwing 114 on page 7 of the DC Connect.
Hey, this is James back with my next pick in the DC Connect, and this time I'm over on page 26, where another thing caught my eye. It is not just that it's Green Arrow number 12 that caught my eye. I am enjoying the title. It's been written pretty well. It's been a fun read. Not every issue is, like, breathtaking, but there's been a lot of fun moments, I would say. Originally, this started off as a 6-issue miniseries. Then, magically, around, I honestly can't remember, but let's say around issue 4, they're like, oh, it's going to be a 12-issue miniseries. Well, now we're getting the solicit for the 12th issue, and there's a little thing on here. It says, now an ongoing series, which is just hilarious. I guess it was popular enough that they're just going to keep it going. The writer on this is Joshua Williamson. The art and cover are Sean Izoski. I'm probably butchering the name. And this is the 12th issue. This was supposed to be the wrap-up issue. I'm interested to see if the 13th issue is kind of like a new jumping on point, since this was supposed to wrap things up, or because it felt like the 7th issue was kind of like a really good jumping on point, and it felt like it was supposed to be the second of a 6-issue miniseries. So how ongoing is this? I don't know. It's been a fun read. I'm on board for it. And on to my next pick.
This is Jason with a pick in the DC Connect catalog on page 36. It's Crisis on Infinite Earths number 1 facsimile edition. Obviously, on the bottom of the page, you have Crisis on Infinite Earths volume 2 facsimile edition. So if they keep printing these two per month, it looks like they'll get this done in about 6 months, which is actually pretty exciting. I'm actually getting this series. I have it collected in trade paperback format, 35th anniversary hardcover format, as well as all of the connecting issues that were Crisis crossovers. And so it says, heroes will live, heroes will die, and the DC universe will never again be the same. The premier issue of the landmark series that forever transformed the DC universe and the superhero landscape is faithfully reprinted in a vibrant full facsimile edition. So one of the things about the facsimiles, obviously you have the ads and letters pages and, you know, original ads, both in-house ads and what was being advertised at the time in popular culture. But you also have the editor's notes, which were in these original books, and they really help to understand the story quite a bit better, because you're going to have characters that you're just not familiar with, that you haven't heard of before. And you're like, who is this? Who are they referring to? And so they have lots of editor's notes that I think, you know, that used to be a common thing in comics. And I really wish they brought those back, because those are really good about tracking down where a character came from or who that was and, you know, what was their first appearance and that kind of thing. So, and they were right. This, to me, DC Comics was never the same after this. It was still very good for many years and a lot of years to come, but it felt like diminishing returns for me, because, you know, you had every hero essentially in existence battling a foe, an all-powerful foe. And then you had all these multiple Earths that, you know, slowly began to get condensed down. You have the loss of several heroes, And it just, even though they've tried to do different crisis following up to this, it just feels like it's never quite reaches that level. And especially when they do yearly crossovers of, you know, a huge world ending crisis. So I do recommend this for both DC Comics history as well as, you know, big changes in store for DC. Obviously, Superman was one of the biggest ones that changed after the series. And for me personally, it was the Legion of Superheroes when they essentially took Superboy out of existence, you know, Superman as a kid being Superboy. And so it changed a lot of things, but it's still a very good series. You get to see a lot of wonderful characters and a great storyline. So definitely highly recommend that for any classic DC fan.
Hey, this is James, and I'm back with my last pick in the DC Connect. And this one's kind of a fun one for me. If you go over to page 36 and 37 in the DC Connect, there are some basically reprints, some facsimile editions. They have Crisis on Infinite Earths numbers 1 and 2, which are going to be reprinted. So that's kind of cool if you want to have the number 1s and number 2s and not pay the price of the 1980 series, what those are going for. This gives you the facsimiles are very nice, either from Marvel or DC. Even get the same old advertisements they had back in the 80s or 70s or whenever the comic came out. I just really enjoy them. I'm kind of nostalgic because, you know, if you have a comic that you don't want to dig out or you missed and you don't want to fork out hundreds of dollars, here's a way to get it on the cheap. But the ones that I'm really interested in is on page 37, and there's two of them. It's a twofer. I always keep complaining. I don't want to say complaining, but keep talking into the void and just saying, I wish DC would have their old war stuff or all their World War II stuff, either even digitally. It's just something that they don't, you know, provide for you. You literally have to go and spend hundreds of dollars to read old war books, and I'm just not in a mind to do that. I don't feel like spending that much money. But they are reprinting one number one and number 81. The first one is Military Comics number one. It's a facsimile edition and looks kind of cool. It says it's the origin of Black Hawk, which I like. And it is written by Will Eisner and art by Chuck Kudera. I'm probably butchering that. It's 64 pages of Military Comics. So this one is $6.99. It's a little pricey. But I guarantee if you want to get the number one of Military Comics written by Will Eisner on the market, you're going to spend a lot more than $6.99. And then right below it is Our Army at War number 81, facsimile edition, written by Bob Haney and art by Ross Andrew and Mike Esposito. It is the first appearance of Sergeant Rock in Easy Company. Everyone knows Sergeant Rock if you know war comics at all. So this is really cool that they're reprinting this stuff. This one's only $3.99. It's a 32-page comic. I am completely on board for this. And maybe, cross my fingers, they come out with some collected editions collecting all this stuff, these war comics, because I would actually pick it up. It's stuff that it's just not in print. You don't see it anywhere. You can't get it anywhere. You can't even get it digitally, which is just kind of sad and depressing. So let's get this stuff out. Here's two comics to start with. On to my next pick.
Oh, and Kyle.
Yeah, look I at know. That.
The first appearance of Sergeant Rock and Easy Comforter, Our Army at War 81, a swastika cover even, $4. Wow. This has been the most impressive facsimile I've seen in a while.
Yeah, that's a great...
Boy, Sergeant Rock. Love that cover.
But give me the first appearance of Sergeant Rock.
Yeah.
That is so awesome.
This full facsimile edition also features three other explosive battle action stories from legendary DC war artists Joe Kubert, Russ Heath, and more.
Wow, so cool.
That's awesome. That's really cool. That's been the most impressive thing I've seen in this book so far.
Yeah. So, yeah, the first appearance of Sergeant Rock seals the show.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, actually.
I didn't know that was going to be in there. That's really awesome.
And we are so excited. Check that out on page 39 of the DC Connect. And check us out, Kyle and Drew, from Comics for Hunt and Profit, wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Jason. My next pick in the DC Connect catalog on page 37, it's Our Army at War 81, facsimile edition. Nothing's easy in Easy Company. Sergeant Rock and his legendary World War II fighting force make their first appearance together in the Rock of Easy Company. This full facsimile edition also features three other explosive battle action stories from legendary DC war artists Joe Kubert, Russ Heath, and more. This was, the first appearance of Sergeant Rock, who went on to basically take this title over and, you know, ran into the 80s as the last of the classic DC Comics war comics line. And he was a very popular character. It definitely helped when you had Joe Kubert doing the cover art. And I think they just did a wonderful job. You know, once you had the Joe Kubert look for the character, as well as you get to know what kind of a hero and leader Sergeant Rock was, they did a great job with this. So I actually have this both in the Showcase Presents version, which is, of course, a black and white, almost phone book type version, as well as the Sergeant Rock, the DC Archives Sergeant Rock Volume 1. So it's, to me, it's not one of the best Sergeant Rock appearances or stories, but it really does set the groundwork for the kind of grit and determination that you need from a leader in war. So definitely recommend this if you are a classic DC Comics war fan, any of the war series that you might have enjoyed. This is a great one to pick up. And of course, it has all the ads and everything else. So highly recommend this series.
Hey folks, Chris Brawley, a.k.a. the Brawlinator here, and I've got my picks for March 2024, and my first one takes me to page 37 of DC Connect. Sergeant Frank Rock is one of the most popular characters from war comics of all time, and now DC Comics is reprinting his first appearance from Our Army at War number 81, featuring the debut of Sergeant Rock and Easy Company in another one of their facsimile issues. Created by Robert Kaniger and Joe Kubert as an iconic war hero, this hard-as-nails, non-commissioned infantry officer led the colorful Easy Company in the European theater of the Second World War. And like many legendary warriors, his origins and his death are shrouded in mystery. Now, I, for one, have longed for DC Comics to collect the Sergeant Rock and Easy Company run, Haunted Tank, Our Army at War, all in a series of hardcovers. Or I'd take soft covers as long as they're in full color. Maybe the recently announced DC's Finest Trades will do just that. But for now, how about we check out this reprint over on page 37 of the DC Connect, Our Army at War, number 81, facsimile edition. And that's my selection from DC this month.
Hi, guys. It's Chris Myers from Troy, New York, with a couple clips for the preview spotlight for March. The first one I'm going to do is in the DC catalog. It's Our Army at War, number 81, the facsimile edition, written by Bob Haney with art by Ross Andrew and Mike Esposito. This is the first appearance of Sergeant Rock and Easy Company. As it says in the solicit, nothing's easy in Easy Company. Sergeant Rock and his legendary World War II fighting force make their first appearance together in the Rock of Easy Company. This full facsimile edition also features three other explosive battle action stories from legendary war artists Joe Kubert and Russ Heath.
What's up? What's up? X-Men Patrick here, and I am now in the main previews. We are looking on previews page 124. Ain't No Grave, number 1 of 5. Story, Scotty Young. Artist in cover artist George Corona. That's only cover artist they have on here. That'd be pretty amazing. So Scotty Young has written, it tells us on here, let's see, Middle West, and I did like Middle West, and The Me You Love in the Dark I did not read, so I have no idea about that one. It's a miniseries. Let's see, Eisner Award winning writer Scotty Young and Eisner Award nominated artist George Corona, the team behind the hit series Middle West and The Me You Love in the Dark, are back together with an all new miniseries. Ain't No Grave, The Unforgiven Style Journey is an original macabre western fantasy tale for mature readers told through the Guillermo del Toro-esque lens. Ryder is the lady, put her violent past behind her when she fell in love and became a mother, but that was before she learned it was all going to be taken away. Now she has to pick up her guns once again and ride to kill the one who's behind the threat, which, you know, just happens to be death. The genre-bending adventure begins with this double-length first issue with 40 pages of story and no ads. So, it says 40 pages of story, no ads. Action Adventure Fantasy, 48 pages, full color, $5.99, mature, 18+. That's what I expected on. We head all the way back to the Blood Hunt book, mature, 18, ages 18+ for the Hollybagged one, but it doesn't do that. All right, so yes, if you read it in your previews book, it probably has all that. Yeah. Oh, on here it says $7.99 in the previews book. All right, oh well, I am on the Image website, and you get like 5 or 6 pages of art. So the first one is just like an old Western, and she's on a horse, and she finds an old carriage, and she's rummaging through. She finds a baby doll, and right away, this little girl's like, hey, that's mine, and it flashes her right back to her life with her daughter and playing and then hanging out with her husband who, you know, made her settle down, and then she randomly coughs up blood. So I'm guessing, I'm hoping that it's, you know, a good, easy story, not like magic and this and that, and just changes the whole story. Let's keep it Western. Looks cool. Art's great. Scotty Young's awesome. So I'm in. Ain't No Grave, number one, page 124 in your previews book, or literally the first book in the online internet image title search. All right, on the next pick.
But handing over to our good friends at Image Comics, we have, oh, and we got Ain't No Grave as our launch of the month. Scotty Young and Jorge Corona. So Scotty Young's just a writer now. Just a writer, and he's permitting his artist to do adult art for a Scotty Young creative property.
This is a double-length first issue, not for double-length, but also double-length price for $5.99. Mature, ages 18+, action-adventure fantasy. Looks kind of like a Western.
Yeah.
To me. Unforgiven-style journey, that's a Western revenge tale.
Mm-hmm.
Told through a Guillermo del Toro-esque lens. Yeah. A genre-bending adventure begins.
I like Scotty Young. Most of the stuff I've read, he's done from Fairyland and a couple other things, I've enjoyed. So I like fantasy action Western better than most.
Jorge things. Corona art's great, right? Yes. It's beautiful. So I don't blame him for handing over the reins. They give us like 10 pages in here, I think.
Yeah.
And it's all gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
A little sparse on dialogue, which is fine, since I got 48 pages. But yeah, there's plenty to chew on in there to make your decision. So check out page 3 of the Image catalog, and check out Comics for Fun and Profit with Kyle and Drew and Jason too, wherever you listen to podcasts.
X-Men Patrick, do you guys remember when John was telling, like, it's really hard to keep up with all these catalogs? Because you have previews, you have public Random House ones with the Marvel and all this other stuff, and then you have Lunars, and Lunar has an Image one, and I just read you Ain't No Gun number one, or something like that. And I'm scrolling through, and this thing pops up. Energon Universe 2024 Special. One shot. So I was like, oh, let me dig in the previews book and see if I can find it. I cannot find the darn thing. It's not in the previews book. Why? I don't know. I scrolled through everything. I did not see it. So this is only online in the Image catalog download thing. Energon Universe 2024 Special number one. One shot. Special new printing of Energon Universe Free Comic Book Day 2024 Special, featuring 3 all-new stories from Energon Universe, with stunning revelations for the worlds of Transformers, G.I. Joe, and Void Rivals from the biggest names in comics. Perfect jumping on point for new readers and can't miss for long-term fans. Don't know if I ever saw this. I did not see it in the Free Comic Book Day ad they have in the front. Robert Kirkman, Daniel Warren Johnson, Joshua Williamson, all those writers of G.I. Joe, Void Rivals, Transformers. How did I miss this? I don't know. Hopefully I ordered it. If not, I'm hoping... Oh, it is a $3.99. So it may be not a free book, but this is like super, super early to offer it up. I don't know. Cover A is Optimus fighting Megatron. Cover B is Void Rivals, it looks like. So it's a one shot. I'm definitely going to pick it up. There is... It says there's a 1 in 10, 1 in 25, 1 in 50. Obviously, I'm not buying those. But I may get cover A, cover B, because why not? $3.99 is not a bad price. You know, the normal old school price that they just dropped like maybe 5 years ago. All right, I'm done ranting on this one. Like I said, it's called Energon Universe 2024 Special. It may not be out until May. Oh, on sale May 8th. That's probably why. We're looking at books for April, and this is for May 8th, so you're going to be ordering this and not see it for 3 months. All right, on to the next pick. What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick here, and I am very sad to hear that James dropped the Energon Universe. Man, you're missing out. It's going to get great. We are looking at Transformers number 8. So now I'm looking in the previews book. It's not actually in the previews book. So I'm going to skip Transformers number 8, even though it comes out May 8th. They have it in the Image catalog. The Return of Spoiler, Change the War on Cybertron Forever. Looks awesome. $3.99, 32 pages. So I'm going to have to skip that one. And we're going to go to Void Rivals. Cover A is a Transformer. Remember when we were talking about Void Rivals never has a Transformers in it and it doesn't really make any difference? Robert Kirkman put a Transformer on the cover. All right, so as Darak and Solila cling to life, deep in the wasteland, they find Springer. It is the first Energon Universe appearance of everyone's favorite triple changer Autobot. I actually don't know Springer. Well, this is on page 135 in the previews, by the way. So we have Robert Kirkman, art and cover A by Lorenzo Di Felici and Matthias Lopes. I wonder if they have two artists on everything. I don't know. That's weird. Like I said, it is a Transformer on the cover of Void Rivals. This is the second arc of Void Rivals. It's coming out May 22nd. So this is coming out May 22nd. Transformers is coming out May 8th. But Void Rivals, number 9, is in the previews book, but not Transformers number 8. I don't understand. This is getting confusing. Pick up Transformers. Pick up Void Rivals. Enjoy the Energon Universe. Cobra Commander's ending. His miniseries is ending in here. By the time this comes out, Duke's miniseries is ended in here. The G.I. Joe books themselves don't really tie in, so I don't know how they're going to work that, because Larry Hama's continuing his run from number 1 to 308 or whatever he's on now. But this Energon Universe, I'm digging it. I wish James thought the same thing, but like, all comics are different, man. It's all good. For me, I am enjoying it. I hope you guys are too. Pick them up. Make them keep printing these books. On to the next pick. What's up, X-Men Patrick here, and we are in the Marvel section because I did one of these things. I picked up my DC book. I'm scrolling around. I'm like, all right, let's see. Nightwing's usually a good book. White Man Can't Jump. All right, we're skipping White Nightwing. And I'm scrolling around. I heard Penguin was good, but it's number 10. It's too late to be jumping on. Titans. Oh, look, a Super Scroll. All right, we throw that book out the window. Now we're in the Marvel section. We're on page number 3. We are looking at Blood Hunt number 1. You're going to hear my mic click. Sorry, I popped it up on the computer screen because it's just easier to read this way. Blood Hunt, number 1 of 5. Jed McKay is a writer. Pepe Larraz, artist and cover artist for cover A. And 500 covers because that's how Marvel makes their money. Although the Negative Space one is pretty cool. John Tyler Christopher's, I'm guessing that's Blade. Bloodiest Marvel event ever. Maybe they've been listening to us and they made these books a little more adult because Red Band Edition looks pretty cool. So I'll just read this real quick. The skies have gone dark, the sun hiding its face from the carnage to come. The children of the night, the vampires, have risen from the dark and hidden places of the world as one to drown the Marvel Universe in blood. Earth's final night has fallen. Can even the heroes of this doomed world stem the tide of the blood that is to come? Join Avengers, Blade, Bloodline, Spider-Man, Hunter's Moon, Tigra, Doctor Strange, and Clea as a dance to death begins in Blood Hunt number 1. 40 pages, $6. There is foil pricing they're trying to tell you about. All right, now this is what I laughed about. Expanded and unexpurgated. What? Someone had a dictionary, a thesaurus out, because this is the word, unexpurgated. And all it means is uncensored. So, expanded and uncensored. The polybagged for your protection. The red band edition of Blood Hunt number 1 contains additional pages of unexpurgated, uncensored material that would be too explicit for the regular edition. Yet, they do not change the rating. They just tell you it's $6.99 instead of $5.99. Parental advisory, but it's, I guess they did. It's not rated, you know, M for mature or NC-17. You know, it's not rated. It just says parental advisory. What could be really different? Blood? Could that be the difference? I really hope Disney sells this Marvel and someone else takes over it. I am going to get probably the Red Band Polybag Edition. Why not? It's something cool, new. I'll check it out. I'm not buying a ton of them. I'm not buying some to sell. I'm literally going to just buy one, pop it open, check it out. I guess I'd have to get a normal number one also to try to, you know, cross-reference and see what the difference is. And I will report back on the Slack channel. Definitely join the Slack channel, guys, if you're listening to this and don't have the Slack channel. We put up news. We put up what we're reading. It's a neat channel. Anyway, back to Marvel. Do not get the whole series of Blood Hunt. It will be over $200 to try to collect all of Blood Hunt. I think I'm going to literally get number one, see if it's good, and go to the LCS and pick up the rest of them and not order them through Eric because I have to order ahead of time. And if it's good, maybe I'll order like three and four ahead of time or four if I can. But I am just picking up literally the main Blood Hunt thing and the Hulk because the Hulk cover looks amazing. After that, I'll read it online or I'll hear about it from the Slack guys. All right, on to the next pick.
Hey, this is James here with my first pick in the Marvel previews. And once again, I did not have to go very far, just like the DC previews. The first thing that caught my eye was on pages 2. And by the way, the cover art, I think, is on page 3. And actually, if you flip over to page 4, the second issue is solicited. But it is Blood Hunt number 1 of 5. Writer is Jed McKay. Artist is Pepe Larraz. I like Pepe Larraz. He's a good artist. And I like Jed McKay when he's on his game. And it says, the bloodiest Marvel event ever. Now, I am not picking up all of this nonsense. I think Dr. Moe posted on the Slack channel about if you pick up all the issues, there were something like 50-something issues, which would probably be in the neighborhood of $200, $250 to pick up all this stuff. I honestly don't know. It might be $300. I'm not spending $300 on this. I'm not picking up all the little side stories. The reason why I am getting Blood Hunt is similar to Titans Beast World. I picked up the 5-issue of the main series. I picked up Titans because I was getting it, and actually Titans wasn't working for me, so after the Beast World thing, I kind of dropped Titans at the same time. But if an event is short, and it's by a writer that I like, and it's tying into books that I'm currently reading, I'll mainly pick up the main thing, the main story. So Jed McKay, I am reading his Avengers. We are starting to see vampires and stuff in there, so boom, here we go. I'm going to jump on. The other book that it's tying into is Blade, which went heavy into the vampire stuff. Obviously, it's Blade by Brian Hill. And I think Brian Hill's been doing a good job on Blade. I've been enjoying it. It's not the best thing I've ever read, but that's the thing that I'm going to pick up. I'm going to pick up the Blade stuff. I'm going to pick up the Avenger stuff. I'm going to pick up the Blood Hunt stuff. Now, Brian Hill, okay, the miniseries, I'm not going to pick up. I'm not going to pick up Dracula Blood Hunt by Danny Lore. I'm not going to pick up Union Jack the Ripper. I'm not picking that up. I'm not picking up Blood Hunters, which is in a anthology, Black Panther, Blood Hunt. I'm not getting the Venom because I'm not reading Venom. Basically, I keep going through this. Vengeance of the Moon Knight, I'm probably not going to get, even though it's Jed McKay because I didn't pick up the series. Yada, yada, yada. The one miniseries I am going to pick up, it's the 3-issue miniseries, is Midnight Suns Blood Hunt, number 1 through 3, because I am reading Brian Hill's Blade book, and this is Blade teaming up with Ghost Rider, so we get the Midnight Suns again. I'm okay with that, 3 issues of that, so that's probably the only miniseries I'll pick up out of the bunch. So I'm picking that up. Hopefully it's good. Will it be good? Probably not. And I say that because I've become a cynic because a lot of things are just cash grabby. But I'm hoping that this is a good quote-unquote event. I don't even know. I guess Blood Hunt's an event. And on to my next pick.
X-Men Patrick here, and I'm still in the Marvel section. I'm on page 21. We have Ultimate Spider-Man number 5. Jonathan Hickman, writer, Marco Cicchetto, artist and cover artist, and cover A, we have a cover B, cover C. The Secret History of Harry Osborn. How does the heir apparent of Oscorp become the masked vigilante? And how does the Green Goblin know about the true status of the world he lives in? And all and more will be revealed. 32 pages, $4.99. On cover A, you see, it looks like Harry Osborn walking with someone in a cemetery. You got Spider-Man creeping out in the background. And then you have some armored dude in the back. I don't know. I've just received book 2 and my second print copy of book 1 because I sold my first one because my first one was worth $80. So I flipped it and sold it. So I will be reading that 1 and 2 probably tonight after I do these recordings. But number 5 is being solicited. I'm going to pick it up. Everyone's talking about Ultimate Spider-Man. We got Ultimate Black Panther 2, but I don't know. And the Ultimate X-Men, I just can't do Peach Momoko art. So, Ultimate Spider-Man it is for me. All right, on to the next pick.
Hey, this is James here with another pick. I am doing a lot of cutting in Marvel and DC, and especially Marvel, believe it or not. Even though I'm a Marvel guy, there's just some fluff that I'm cutting off my list. But there is one thing that I'm adding, and it's, believe it or not, it's a one-shot. It's over on page 28. The cover's on page 29, and it is Doom number one. Now, when I tell you the creative team, you probably know why I'm picking it. Writer Jonathan Hickman. It says Sanford Green is the writer, too, but the artist is Sanford Green. Jonathan Hickman on a Doom book sounds really cool. You're only in it for one issue. It's a $6.99, $7 comic. It's expensive. I'm getting it very discounted over a Deep Discount Comics. That's the only reason why I'm buying it. It's 56 pages, and it just sounds like a cool premise. It says, in the near future, Doom alone must save the Marvel Universe. And I'll skip over the fluff. And we are sending Dr. Doom on a journey unlike any he has ever undertaken before. With Valeria Richards at his side, Doom goes on a quest to harness more power than any human has ever wielded before in order to try and stop Galactus from bringing about the death of the universe. So a Doom versus Galactus book with Valeria, I think that could be really cool. I think it'd be fun. You're done in one. Lasting impact, probably not. But if it's written well, this one should be a fun read. And on to my next pick.
Brawlinator again, and I'm now in the Marvel Preview Supplemental. I'm over on page 28 looking at the newest series from Jonathan Hickman and artist Sanford Green. It's Doom number one, and here Dr. Doom goes on a quest to harness more power than any human has ever wielded before in order to stop Galactus from bringing about the death of the universe. Now, this is a one-shot comic, and the creators are promising it's a universe-shattering battle between Doom and Galactus, highlighting Doom's hubris and his unlikely alliance with Valeria Richards to save the Marvel Universe. This story is set in the near future and was actually conceived by artist Sanford Green, who sees Doom as sort of the center of the entire Marvel Universe. I started to say MCU. I hope he shows up in the MCU. Sanford wanted this story to be kind of his love letter to Doom and Marvel. He loves the character. I love the character. Hickman says he loves this story and concept, so I'm in for this one shot. Check it out. It's just called Doom Number One on page 28 of the Marvel Previews.
What's up, guys? We're still in the Marvel sections. X-Men Patrick here, and we're looking at Wolverine Number One. You wanted Wolverine with hot lava claws? Here you go. Benjamin Percy, writer, Julius Uta, I think you say, artist and cover. There's Ryan Stegman, spoiler cover, foil covers, and 500 other covers. Let's see. Ride to Hell and Back in Helverine's first ever solo series. Because you demanded it. The return of Helverine. When a demonic force known as Bagra Ghoul came to Earth, it brought Logan and Ghost Rider together to hunt it before it possessed Wolverine. But now, in the present day, what event will put Helverine back on the streets? And is he slashing his Hellfire claws for good or evil? And introducing all new Hellfire Warriors, because why not? Don't miss the launch of all new series brought to you by Wolverine co-creator Benjamin Percy and blazing hot talent Julius or Julius Uta. 40 pages, $4.99. Again, please inquire regarding foil prices. They're always a dollar more. Awesome covers, and I will be picking up the Scotty Young, and I will be picking up Mark Deterius, that awesome Wolverine on a motorcycle, and possibly the Ryan Stegman one here. But, and I wanted to tell you guys about Hellfire Warriors. Someone told me, or I listened to a podcast, or I read it on Instagram, Hellfire Warriors are going to be other Marvel characters mixed with Ghost Rider. That is what I heard. I'm not 100%, but I mean, sounds great. I'm in for it. It's a mini series for me, for Marvel and DC have been better than Marvel and DC ongoings. So I'm all about it. Pick it up with me if you guys want. If not, I will let you know about it, I'm sure, on the Slack channel. All right, on to the next pick. X-Men Patrick here, and you probably just heard me because I was just on the other page with Wolverine. We're now on page 36 with Get Fury. Get Fury, number one, up five, another miniseries. Garth Ennis, great writer for war type of material. We have Jason Burroughs as artist and cover by Dave Johnson and many others. Cover A looks pretty cool. We got Garth Ennis returns to Marvel with Nick Fury and Frank Castle, as you've never seen. Thank you for bringing Frank back. Thank you for bringing original Nick Fury back. It's 1971. There is a war raging in Vietnam. Nick Fury has been captured by Viet Cong. At this moment, they don't quite understand that they have in their possession a man who knows enough secrets to damage the United States beyond comprehension. The CIA, however, does realize this, and they can't risk their enemy getting those secrets. So they dispatch the most deadly man in the U.S. Army, Lieutenant Frank Castle. 32 pages, rated max. Yes. And guess what? The price? $3.99. We're throwing it back. I am very excited for this series. It's going to be... I really feel like this is going to be an awesome, awesome series. Garth Ennis does great with this stuff. He wrote Punisher Max. He writes a lot of war books. So totally on it. Totally digging in this. Let me know if you guys are digging in with me. We can read this. It brings back Punisher's first cover with Punisher zeroing in on Nick Fury. That's awesome. It even says after JR and everything. So that I'm telling you, I am excited for this one. I am going to be all about this. I cannot wait. All right, on to the next one.
Hey, this is James with another pick in the Marvel Supplemental, and I am on page 36, where I believe this was solicited a long time ago, and it's being solicited again. Hopefully this time it comes out. It is Get Fury number 1 of 5, written by Garth Ennis. Jason Burroughs is the artist. We know this creative team. They have been together before, and I remember... Like I said, this was said a long time ago, and it really piqued my interest because it says Garth Ennis returns to Marvel with Nick Fury and Frank Castle, not this new Punisher dude, as you've never seen. And what's kind of cool is we're going to 1971. Now, I know when they updated some stuff, I think it was Mark Waid did it in a Marvel book. They said, hey, we're going to now refer to Vietnam as this other type of war because we're so far from that. You know, those people who fought in the Vietnam War are now in their 70s and 80s. But it says it's 1971. There is a war raging in Vietnam, so we are going back to Vietnam, and Nick Fury has been captured by the Viet Cong. At this moment, they don't quite understand that they have in their possession a man who knows enough secrets to damage the United States beyond comprehension. The CIA, however, does realize this, and they can't risk their enemy getting those secrets. So they dispatched the most deadly man in the U.S. Army, Lieutenant Frank Castle. So Lieutenant Frank Castle, man, I might be drawing a blank, but I didn't think he worked for the CIA, but maybe he did. Oh my gosh. But anyways, Frank Castle is going to either free or take out Fury, I guess. And knowing Frank Castle, he's more on the takeout. But seeing how things played out, he was unsuccessful. But you're going to Vietnam with characters back in the Vietnam War. Characters that I like. I'm sold on this. Hopefully it's good. Garth Ennis, when he's on, can be very good. When he's off, he's really off. But I got my fingers crossed for a good one here. On to my next pick.
Brawlinator again, and I'm still in the Marvel previews over on page 36. And after the stealth cancellation of their, dare I say it, boring Punisher replacement of S.H.I.E.L.D. agent Joe Garrison, Marvel seems to have come to their senses, and they've asked Garth Ennis to pen a sort of return for Frank Castle for a new Punisher and Nick Fury comic series called Get Fury. The 5-part series is illustrated by Jason Burroughs, and it should be mentioned that Ennis and Burroughs previously collaborated on a series over at AWA Studios called The Ribbon Queen, which I did not read. Now, this limited series, though, will be set in 1971 during the Vietnam War. Storyline follows Nick Fury's capture by the Viet Cong. Unaware of Fury's significance, the Viet Cong don't realize he's holding valuable secrets that could severely impact the U.S. Recognizing the danger, the CIA enlists the deadliest soldier in the U.S. Army, none other than Lieutenant Frank Castle, to retrieve Fury and prevent the enemy from obtaining the classified info. Hopefully, Ennis and Burroughs will bring their A-game to this, and readers will get an action-packed adventure filled with espionage, military conflict, and maybe something that explores each of the characters' military traits against the backdrop of a turbulent era in American history, the Vietnam War. I'm in for the first issue at least. Let's check it out on page 36 in the Marvel Previews.
Hi guys, it's Chris Myers back again. Now I've got, apparently I'm on a war theme because this is out of the Marvel catalog. It's Frank Castle as you've never seen him, along with Nick Fury. It's 1971. There's a war raging in Vietnam, and Nick Fury has been captured by the Viet Cong. At this moment, they don't quite understand what they have in their possession. A man who knows enough secrets to damage the United States beyond comprehension. The CIA, however, does, and they can't risk the enemy getting those secrets, so they dispatch the most deadly man in the U.S. Army, Frank Castle. This is Get Fury number 1. It's by Garth Ennis. I really enjoy Garth Ennis's war stories. It's going to be $3.99, 32 pages.
What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick. Yes, still in the Marvel. I'm on page 51, and this is purely a spec one. We're on Edge of Spider-Verse, 4 of 4. Neilha Magruder and Alex Segura are the writers. Marcus Williams and Salvador LaRocca, artists. Cover by Chad Wayne Harden. Why do I pick this? If you're following along, this is Spider-Woman, but not the Spider-Woman of our Spider-Woman, I guess you would call it. You would call it this age Spider-Woman. It is from the Across the Spider-Verse movie Spider-Woman. It is the Black Spider-Woman. Awesome cover. Like I said, this is purely a spec pick. This is her first in comics. Witness the comic book debut of Spider-Woman from the smash hit Across the Spider-Verse movie. That's right, Jessica Drew, that stole the great movie, is coming to the comics with a story from Neilha Magruder. I hope I got that right, but I probably did not. Working with the filmmakers. It's not enough. Witness the true birth of the Spider Society, setting up the next Spider-Verse storytelling epic. Meaning there's going to be more of these books. This is 40 pages. Number 4 of 4, and it's still $5. Reason why I never pick this stuff up anymore. Yes, it is a miniseries, you want to say, but Edge of Spider-Verse, I think, comes out every year. And there's always new Spider-Men in it. And they hit right away, and then they're gone and forgotten about. I'm telling you, I think Marvel needs a new 52. Drop all this extra characters. Drop all this extra books. Slim it down a little bit to good artists, good writers telling good stories. Instead of, again, I did not read this. I did not read Edge of Spider-Verse. But how many Edge of Spider-Verses do we need? So supposedly the Spider-Verse died like 2 years ago. So back to what I was doing. Pick this cover up. It is her first cover appearance, her first appearance in comics. Don't know if it's in continuity because I don't know about the Edge of Spider-Verse. I did pick up number 2 or number 1. Has a new Weapon X guy on it, and I'm flipping those for like $10-$15, and that's the only reason why I picked them up. All right, on to the next pick. What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick. Yes, we're still in Marvel. Yes, I'm on page 61, but I'm really, it's more of a like an overview cover. So we're looking at Fall of House, Rise of Powers of X, number 5 of 5s. You also have the Wolverine, the ending the war with Sabretooth. I don't know why Wolverine needs an adamantium armor suit, but he's got it. All the X books are ending, and they're all restarting. Even Invincible Iron Man. This is like the last Invincible Iron Man book. The X-Men Forever is dying off. Like, all these X-Men books are done. And they're coming out with a new series coming out in, I wanted to say August, I think. Might be May with New Comic Book Day. So this is ending it all. And I can't wait to finish up this House and Rise, or Fall and Rise of Powers of X. So I'll just read it. Kieran Gillen, one, is the writer. R.B. Silva, artist and cover artist, is this Rise of Powers of X, number 5 of 5. Variant covers out the wazoo, $4.99, even though it's a 5 of 5. Why not? The Battle for All Time. The X epic concludes in a battle between those who are on the outside of time and which now in forever. The result is being decided by whether someone can ultimately make the right choice. The end of the Krakoan Age barrels our way as the two series that are one conclude. Yeah, it's confusing. I don't know if that's Rachel or Jean Grey Summers. Love that cover. On the other cover, you have Cyclops blown away. It looks like Nimrod. So, or Orcus, maybe? It's Orcus. I cannot wait to finish this series up and see what X-Men pops out next. I'm hoping to keep Gambit and Rogue together. I know on this cover of X-Men number 34, Rogue is getting all cozy up to whoever that guy is, and that doesn't fly with me. Gambit and Rogue should be having a kid. Gambit and Rogue should be together. It should only be Gambit and Rogue forever. Why screw that up? All right, on to the next pick.
This is Jason with another pick, this time from the Marvel's previous catalog on page 71. It's Avengers Annual 10, facsimile edition. It says, this one really does have it all. The Avengers, the X-Men, Spider-Woman, and the first appearance of Rogue. When Jessica Drew saves an unconscious Carol Danvers from plummeting from the Golden Gate Bridge, she seeks the aid of the X-Men, and Professor X discovers that Carol's powers and memories have been absorbed by a dangerous young mutant called Rogue. This deadly new recruit to Mystique's Brotherhood of Evil Mutants won't stop there. Next, she targets Captain America and Thor. The remaining Avengers must battle the Brotherhood with Spider-Man alongside them. But when the dust settles, what will the future hold for Carol Danvers, the woman who was once Miss Marvel? It's one of the all-time great comic books, boldly represented in its original form, ads and all, reprinting Avengers Annual No. 10. So this is definitely a classic story and very hard to get your hands on the original copy due to it being the first appearance of Rogue. But it is a great story combining both the X-Men, the Avengers, the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, and it's just a great story and definitely a decent price at $6.99. You're getting a bang for your buck and you're getting a nice annual, which you don't necessarily have to be following the Avengers to be able to enjoy this. So I highly recommend this, and definitely you're going to get a lot of content for your story in the 48-page book for $6.99.
Hey, it's Drew with a solo pick, and this is on page... What page is this? This is on page 79 of Fantastic Four, number 20, and man, oh man, I have enjoyed each and every one of the previous 19 issues of Fantastic Four by Ryan North and a variety of artists that have all been pretty solid with a bunch of great Alex Ross covers. They've been very one-and-done-ish, very standalone, with a little bit of the overarching story. Once we finally got the Baxter Building back and the kids back, that seemed to work out really well and interesting, and it'll give us dribs and drabs of that along with these great little one-off stories. I loved it. I love all of them. This one's, what's it about? It's about things are calm and normal and definitely will be for a long while. Things are not about to explode in everyone's faces, and this is not the last chance at normalcy that the FF will have for a very, very long time. With that being the case, Ben, the Thing, Grimm, and Johnny, the Human Torch, Storm, get part-time jobs to bring in some extra cash for the family and end up getting the same job at the same location. Comics. But this is on page 77 of the Marvel previews. Physical 77, digital 79. It's 32 pages. It's $3.99. It's Fantastic Four, number 20. I love this book. So you should check it out if you haven't. I'm not the only one that loves this, but plenty of folks love it. Thanks, James, for the invite. Sorry I've been away so long. It's fun to get back into the saddle again and leave a little clip. Take care, guys.
What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick, and I'm still in the Marvel previews. I'm on page 85. Star Wars Darth Maul, Black, White, and Red, number 204. I don't know if I called out number one. This is a Mark Russell book, which, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Mark Russell, but I know there's a few you guys are. The reason why I'm calling this out is because Darth Maul is one fan favorite character of the Star Wars universe. Most have not read books. Some have not even watched Rebels. Yet, Darth Maul was only in one movie and killed in that movie. Vader came back in Rebels and killed again by Obi-Wan. But Darth Maul is a bad mamma jamma. All right, so we're Mark Russell, like I said, writer. Carlos Nieto, artist. Cover by Charlie Kirkham is the first one, which is a pretty sweet cover. And, you know, they have 100 covers. And I think the Tyler Kirkham one is probably the best. We have Mayhem at the Moonbender Colony. Who are the remainders? What threat are they to Lord Palpatine? Darth Maul is sent to conquer a minor colony single-handed, but unexpected opposition becomes an intense battle of life and death. One of the Star Wars' most famous villains learns one of his most valuable lessons. 40 pages, $5.99. Please get discounts. Don't pay $6 for these books. This is not a spec book. It's not going to be worth anything spec-wise. But this is going to be cool. I don't know if you guys know about the black, white, and red. You only see red for the blood or the character or stuff like that. The lightsabers, they did it with Darth Vader. He's black, red saber. Cutting stuff up. It was pretty cool. They do a Wolverine. They did a bunch of these now. Deadpool. So, totally cool. Something to read. Star Wars. Again, miniseries. I like these miniseries. So, on to the next pick.
Hey, this is James back with my final pick in the Marvel supplemental, and I'm over on page 92, where we have Godzilla, the original Marvel Years Omnibus. And it is written by Doug Minch and penciled by Herb Trimpe and Tom Sutton. This one is a very pricey omnibus considering the page count, but this is an omnibus where I'm going to tell you, buy it while it's here, buy it while it's available, because when it's not available, it is gone and it probably won't be reprinted. Just like on the following page, there's Micronauts. If you don't buy this stuff, it most likely never be reprinted, and then you can complain and gripe and moan, oh, we never have this material. This is your chance. Get it, and don't be a complainer later on. So it is $100, but only 440 pages. I'm going to get it for about $56, if I'm not mistaken, for 440 pages, which isn't that bad with my deep discount comics discount with Eric. And this is Godzilla 1977, number 1 through 24. If I'm not mistaken, I used to have a few old issues of Godzilla that I had lying around and I read, and I really enjoyed them. If this is stuff that you are interested in, pick it up now. I'm going to pick it up, relive the past, and have some fun with it, and on to my next pick.
Brawlinator again. My last pick in Marvel Previews is one I never thought would be reprinted, and that's because it's a licensed property first published back in the 70s. It was Godzilla, and he rose to prominence in Marvel Comics in 1977, starring in a successful solo series based in the heart of the Marvel Universe. Now, thanks to an exciting new collaboration with Toho International, this monumental series of adventures co-starring many of Marvel's most popular heroes is going to be collected in Godzilla, the original Marvel Years Omnibus. This series was actually last published in a black and white format in an Essentials, Marvel Essentials, but that was way back in 2006, like 18, 19 years ago, and it was only limited to one printing, which made it somewhat of a rare collector's item. Of course, this time it will be in full color. Now, Marvel's Godzilla was typical of all licensed comics from the late 70s and early 80s, such as ROM and the Micronauts, which Marvel licensed from Hasbro, and is thankfully also at this time getting to reprint those in omnibus forms, which I'm picking up. These characters were fully integrated into the Marvel Universe. So you got the Fantastic Four, you got the Avengers routinely interacting with them. There were no canon-changing events in Marvel's Godzilla series, but the book was still enjoyable. Fans were able to see, you know, some of their favorite heroes facing up against Godzilla, which is kind of what's going on in an ongoing, well, it's just wrapping up series over in DC. This series was great. It was drawn by Herb Trimpe, and because of Herb's involvement in it, it's too bad that they never brought in the Hulk for that series. They did bring in Devil Dinosaur, though, which totally made sense. But, you know, opportunity missed right there. But I hope none of you listening to this will miss this opportunity to get a collection that may never be reprinted again. It's Godzilla, the Marvel Years Omnibus, and it's found on page 92.
This is Jason with my next pick on page 93 of the Marvel Previews catalog. It's Godzilla, the original Marvel Years Omnibus. This was a great series that ran in the late 70s, and I really enjoyed it because they did a great job of incorporating Godzilla into the Marvel Universe. And so for me, during that time, I was more into like characters like Devil Dinosaur. And so I had a few of his issues. And so when I saw that Godzilla, who is also another favorite, thanks to my dad, waking me up on Saturday evenings to watch those late night movies of Godzilla, I was a huge fan of that, as well as of Godzilla, as well as of dinosaurs. And so it was a perfect match for me in Godzilla issues 21 and 22 when he ran into Devil Dinosaur. They did a good job of incorporating other characters like, you know, Fantastic Four, the Avengers, Nick Fury. And so they, you know, it was a good series, but it felt like towards the end, it wasn't exactly a Godzilla series anymore. But nevertheless, it was great to see such a great character interacting with the classic Marvel characters. It's 440 pages collecting the original Godzilla series issues 1 through 24 for $100. Highly recommend this if you're a Godzilla fan. This is Jason, and my next pick in the Marvel's Previews catalog is Moon Knight by Jed MacKay Omnibus. It says, from the mysterious Midnight Mission, Moon Knight shelters his people from the weird and horrible, stalking the rooftops and alleys marked with the Crescent Moon tag, bringing violence to any who would harm his flock. While Khonshu languishes in prison, Mark Spector's sacred duty must still be observed, the protection of those who travel at night. But what happens when those he would save are turned into weapons against him? Moon Knight must reckon with the sinister plots of Zodiac, wage war with the vampires of the structure, and face a challenge to his status as Fist of Khonshu from a new vigilante on the scene. The Hunter's Moon is rising. Will Mark's solemn mission prove his undoing? This was a great series by Jed MacKay, and it collects Moon Knight, the 2021 series, issues 1 through 30, Devil's Reign, Moon Knight Annual 2022, and material from Moon Knight Annual 2023, as well as Avengers 2018 series issue 45. I highly recommend this series. I think you guys will definitely enjoy it as a street-level vigilante story. This is Jason with my next pick in the Marvel Previews catalog on page 122. It's Defenders Epic Collection, Volume 2, Enter the Headmen. This series was also another one of my favorites growing up. I had several of these issues, and my favorite characters from it were the Incredible Hulk as well as Silver Surfer. Those were two characters that I followed a little bit in their own book, but anytime they were on the cover of a book, I wanted to see it. And I thought this series did a great job of combining four characters with lots of different power levels, power sets, and storylines, and very, very interesting enemies. And so I think they did a great job with that. This collects Defenders 1972 series, issues 12 through 25, Giant Size Defenders 1 through 4, and Marvel 2-in-1, issues 6 and 7, plus material from Mystery Tales 21, World of Fantasy 11, and Tales of Suspense, issue 9. And the writers is like a who's who of comic book writers. Len Wein, Steve Gerber, Tony Isabella, Chris Claremont, Jim Starlin, Stan Lee, Dennis O'Neill, or Denny O'Neill, as we know him, Bill Everett, and Paul S. Newman, and Larry Lieber. And lots of great artists as well, including Sal Buscema, Gil Kane, Jim Starlin. So definitely recommend this series if you are a classic Marvel fan, if you like Doctor Strange, Incredible Hulk, Silver Surfer, or Namor the Submariner. It's just a great, really, really fun series, and I think they did a great job of basically throwing together four guys who usually are not part of a team and don't like to team up, and you get to follow their adventures for several comics. So highly recommend this. Defenders is a great book.
Chris Brawley, the Brawlinator again. I am at the beginning, or nearly the beginning, of the Previews catalog proper. I'm on page 43, and this is comics related, but it's not a comic. It's from Surreal Entertainment, and they have produced a limited run of Spider-Man 2099 Free Comic Book Day, which is in May, exclusive 10 Titans Lunchbox, featuring a brushed metal finish, which also includes the 10-ounce retro-style beverage container soup cup with the art of future Marvel hero Spider-Man 2099. Now, back in the mid-70s, Aladdin began producing metal launch boxes featuring Marvel superheroes, DC, several licenses, Planet of the Apes. I actually remember having one of Battle of the Planets. And before that, though, I had one that had Spider-Man on one side and Fantastic Four on the other, which I actually have on my CGC shelf right now in my home office. If you're ever on the book club, you can ask me. I'm always proud to show that off. The metal lunchbox at the time was a key accessory for any grade school kid showing off that you were cool enough to appreciate the $6 million man or the Bionic Woman, and it neatly housed the lunch of your choosing with a little help from mom. I think the trend of metal lunchboxes ended sometime in the 80s, but they've mostly become nostalgic collectibles now. I don't know if this particular one will ever be worth more than the manufactured suggested retail price, but I do think it's neat to consider getting one just the same. If you're interested, check out the solicit for yourself on page 43 of this month's previews.
This is Jason with my first pick in the previews catalog. On page 87, it's Space Ghost number 1. It's from Dynamite Entertainment. It seems to be a good take on the character. They have a little solicit that talks about, you know, Space Ghost and who he is, as well as the story. And then there's like a 3-page interview with David Pepos, who is the, he's written several things about Marvel recently. And it's kind of like diving into the back history of who Space Ghost is. So this is a character that I first came upon. I'm not sure exactly when I first saw him, but I believe it was on the Cartoon Network. And I do remember at some point they did something, I think it was called Adult Swim, where they would do some older cartoons. So they did things like Fantastic Four from the 60s. They did Space Ghost. They did Birdman, Herculoids, and those type of characters. And so I can remember staying up at like on Saturday night, which would have been early Sunday morning, from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. And I would record those. And the reason I stayed up instead of just hitting record and going to bed was I wanted to have each of them on their own VHS tape. And I also wanted to cut out the commercials. So it was almost like watching it on a DVD. So anyway, I had fond memories of that, even though obviously it was absolutely exhausting trying to stay up and do all that. But this was a very cool character from Hanna-Barbera from the 1960s. And I always felt that way too, that they never really explained, you know, how, what his origin was, where he came from, how he met the twins, the sidekicks, and of course their pet monkey Blip. And so that's Jan and Jace and their pet monkey Blip, and just how they became a team, you know, like what happened? How did they first meet? How did Space Ghost have his mission? And, you know, what events happened in their lives to bring them together? And specifically, you know, how did Space Ghost become a hero? So I'm really hoping they do this character justice. I think it is a really cool character, and there's so much that they could do with him, because like in the original cartoon series, it's just kind of adventure of the week type of episodes. And so there's no real character development. There's no real backstory and things like that. And, you know, when you kind of imagine what you think maybe the character came from, but I think it'll be good for them to explore that. And I hope this turns out to be a pretty good series. So highly recommend this if you are 1960s Hanna-Barbera cartoon, you know, hero fan. And I hope they do the character justice. Space Ghost number one. This is Jason with my next pick, and this time in the previews catalog on page 125, it's Blood Commandment Volume 1 by Simon Kudransky. This is a really good story. It is a supernatural story, but it has this, you know, several elements that I like. It's a father and son, and I'll just kind of read some of the solicit. It just says, living an isolated life in a shadowed valley surrounded by mountains and a thick forest, a father and son are terrorized by a dangerous supernatural presence. Being a single father can be tough, but for Ezra Conley, it is a duty he doesn't take lightly. Living off-grid, away from prying eyes, in the heart of forest country, he spends his days teaching his teenage son, Will, survival skills. But Will has questions. Questions Ezra fears to answer about his past and why they never leave the valley before sundown. And this collects Blood Commandment issues 1-4. So this book did a great job of atmosphere, of you feeling like you are isolated in that little community, pretty much off the grid in the woods. And it does build pretty well in terms of suspense. There is some violence in there and obviously a supernatural element, but it is a very good story. And I think it just resonated with me because as you go throughout the story, you realize what the father is willing to do to help his son and protect his son. And so in that way, and then also like just the supernatural and cool elements of the story, it definitely drew me in. So I highly recommend that if that sounds like something you guys would enjoy.
Hey, this is James with a pick in the main previews catalog. And no, I am not using the image PDF. So I do find it very hard to find image stuff in this main previews catalog because they have very small solicits. But over on page 126, there is something that I'm interested in picking up, and that is Geiger Volume 1 Deluxe Edition Hardcover. This is written by Jeff Johns, and it says Various. I think Jeff Johns wrote the whole thing. I don't know who the Various was. Honestly, I can't remember. Art was by Gary Frank and Various. I think Gary Frank did all the art. Once again, I don't know who the Various is. And this is collecting Geiger number 1-6 and portions of Geiger 80-page giant number 1. And over 30 pages of bonus material. It is for $38.99. That's such a weird price, $38.99. I have no idea if that means something. I just don't know. It's just so random. Why not 39? Why not just 40? I will be getting a probably 50% discount on this through Deep Discount Comics. And it's a hardcover. It's 272 pages. Geiger is fantastic stuff. This book, it has a ton of world building. It's about a time in a post-apocalyptic America. It takes place out near Vegas. We see little fiefdoms that have popped up inside of the casinos, the remnants of the casinos. There's this character who's walking the desert waste with a multi-headed dog. His name is Geiger. He has these batons on his back. And I remember I was thinking, oh, that's kind of cool, batons where he's, you know, can kind of combat people. But if you think about it, he's a nuclear character. They're control rods that kind of help him regulate himself. But if you want a book that's world-building, post-apocalyptic, just a ton of fun, pick up Geiger. And this is a perfect time to pick this book up. They are I don't want to say relaunching, but the whole Geigerverse with Geoff Johns is heading this whole thing. And there's tons of books spinning out of it is happening right now. I called out some of the solicits last month, this month, the issues two for like Red Coat, Geiger Volume 2. All these different books are coming out. Here's your chance to pick it up in case you missed it. This is grade A material. It was really fun, fun read. I'm going to pick it up. This is worthy of a hardcover. And on to my next pick. Hey, this is James back with my next pick in the Image section in the main catalog. And I'm over on page 127, where we get Volume 8 of Sunstone. Okay, Sunstone, Volume 8, original graphic novel. This is written, art, cover art, all by Stepan Sage, is what I've come to know. It looks like Stejepan Sejic, but I think it's Stepan Sage. I think he's from Croatia, too, if I'm not mistaken, which is kind of cool because I just spent a lot of time in Croatia last year. Really cool country, nice place. But this is an interesting book. It's not really something I'm into, but I find it fascinating. I've been reading it. But it's characters that live in this world that ties into the swing world and the, I can't remember the other volume. I think it was called Sugar by Matt Hawkins. So they built this whole world where basically it's a sex-themed world, we'll say. And these books with Sunstone are themed on BDSM. And not BDSM is like beating and chaining people up. I mean, that's part of it, but it's way more nuanced and way more depth. And it's way more about characterization, believe it or not. Surprise, surprise, because it's not just a porn book. It's actually a good comic where there's characterization. You learn the characters, you grow to like them. And I think it's just fantastic. They had hardcovers that came out too. So this is the latest one. It's 224 pages, $16.99. And I am definitely going to pick this up. It's been a fun series. Stepan Sage is a fantastic, just beautiful artist. So if you're just a fan of the art alone, I would pick it up. And definitely a buy, worthy of a buy. On to my next pick. Hey, this is James back with another pick in the previous catalog. And I'm on page 138, where we get Gun Honey Collision Course, number 1 of 4 from Titan Comics. It is a gem of the month. On page 138, they give you basically the solicit. On page 139, they give you interior art. And on pages 140 and 141, they give you alternative covers. Man, some Gun Honeys are really, really good. I will say that. Some are okay, and one was not good. I'm hoping this one's a good one again because they've been kind of hit or miss, but I feel like I'm invested in the story and I'm down for it. And this is written by Charles Ardai. Artist is Ang Hor Kang. I know I'm butchering these names. My apologies. And it says, Joanna Tan returns for a new Heart Racing series. And that's what got me excited because I'm a fan of Joanna Tan. The last Gun Honey series had a completely different character, which I didn't care for as much. So here we're getting back on track. After nearly a year in hiding from the government agents looking to kill her, Gun Honey Joanna Tan launches a plan to turn the tables that will take her from the jungles of Borneo. That's cool. My wife is from the island of Borneo. To the streets of Yokohama and the sands of the Gobi Desert. Very cool. I would love to go to the Gobi Desert too and see those cool looking camels they have. But when four armed groups converge on one secret location, will anyone survive the explosive collision? Sounds like it could be cool. Hoping it's cool. Fingers crossed. Man, just for the covers alone, you're like, good Lord, I gotta buy this comic. Anyways, on to my next pick. Hey, this is James back with another pick in the previous catalog, and I am in the Titan section again, and I flip the page past Gun Honey, and I'm over on page 142, where we get The Savage Sword of Conan, the original comics omnibus volume 9, because Marvel did not finish the job. Thank you, Titan, for stepping up to the plate and finishing the job that Marvel left unfinished. We need to complete the Savage Sword of Conan in omnibus format to finish out our collections. Unfortunately, they're a little more pricey since they moved to Titan, but I'm okay with it. I'm on board. I got to finish it out. Okay, writer Larry Yakata, Don Krar, and Roy Thomas. I love Roy Thomas. Art, Gary Quapiz? God. And Ernie Chan. It says, unfettered by the comics code. Experience Conan at his most visceral in the original epic comic magazine, The Savage Sword of Conan. And that was a big selling point, I gotta say. If you listen to Brawlinator or Marvin, Viking Joker, or any of the people who are fans of this stuff, I mean, anyone who is a fan of The Savage Sword of Conan, we all like the black and white magazine. Why? Because it was cool, it was big, and as a kid, I don't want to say as a kid, but like even as a teenager, you know, or as a kid, reading this stuff, this was way more racy and way more realistic than the Comics Code Authority, which just sanitized everything. I know some people harken back to the best comics were in the Comics Code Authority days, and that's true. A lot of comics were written better then, but they were so sanitized for a reader who is looking for something more. And especially like I am now 50, a 50-year-old reader, I don't need things that are so sanitized. I'm okay with a slight nudity. I'm okay with a curse word because that's reality. So this was definitely on the edgier side, even though it's way less edgy than even the current Conan series that's being put out by Titan. And it says, Crom does not deny the faithful. The Savage Sword of Conan omnibus collection are continuing and collecting the greatest sword and sorcery comic magazine of all time. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Unfortunately, I'm looking at this. It does not tell me which issues are in here. So I'm just going to have to guess. It's left off wherever the last one left off. It'll be going to whatever the hell it's going to because they don't tell you on here. It does tell me it's 1,072 pages for $150, but you will get 35% off or 40% off, something like that, with Eric at Deep Discount Comics. So you got to pick this up. There's two covers. I'm going with the Joe Jusco cover over the Michael Golden cover. I think that's the cover to get personally, but to each his own. On to my next pick.
This is Jason with another pick in the previews catalog. On page 142, it's Savage Sword of Conan, the original comics omnibus, volume 9 from Titan Comics. It's $150 and 1,072 pages. This picks up directly from the end of the Marvel omnibus line, which ended at volume 8. They completed the Conan the Barbarian series, but they did not complete the Savage Sword of Conan magazine omnibus series. And interestingly enough, I realized when I was going through this that first they had resolicited this, but then they ended up not putting in the content. The only thing they put was, you know, it includes the Conan the Witch Queen of Acheron. And so it kind of surprised me that they didn't put that. So I looked at the previous solicited and it says it's collecting the Savage Sword of Conan issues 117 through 132, Marvel graphic novel 1982, so that number 19, Conan the Witch Queen of Acheron, and material from Epic Illustrated number 34. So it does have quite a bit of content, and I definitely recommend this. I know there's a couple people putting clips on there, so I'm hoping that this time the solicit takes, so to speak, and that we actually get a definitive date on the publication, and we actually get Volume 9 in our hands at some point later this year. It says it's due on August 7th, 2024, so looking forward to that.
Brawlinator again, and for my next pick, I'm in the previews catalog, adding my voice to the chorus of picks on this one. It's a book I've literally been waiting 2 years for. Actually, I've been waiting nearly 40 years on it. It's Volume 9, the classic Savage Sword of Conan omnibus series, with Titan Comics finally taking the baton, picking it up where Marvel left off before they relinquished the Conan license. These are the classic black and white magazine stories that were not beholden to the Comics Code Authority, so they were brutal. and they were really great. It was a great series, and I'm glad to see Titan keeping their word on picking up where Marvel stopped instead of just starting from the beginning, which they have solicited Volume 1, and so I think they may be staggering their solicits until they finish it. I hope so. I hope we see a Volume 10 solicited in a few months. There should be, I think, 16 or 20 total. We'll see. They have the print files for all of this. I expect these will continue to roll out regularly. At least I hope so. I'm sure the others will have more to say about this. For sure, I think anybody who enjoys just really good comics for mature audience, this is something for you. Savage Sword of Conan, these were all standalone stories, so you don't have to start at the beginning. And this is a great, great era, too, of Savage Sword, which is why I was a little bit miffed when Marvel dropped the ball. But again, kudos to Titan. Let's go. Brawlinator here, and I don't normally go for comics that take an established IP and, quote, reimagine it for the modern age, unquote, but this may be an exception. I first heard about this project back in late 2022 and thought the cover art looked fantastic, and I was intrigued by the idea. Popeye, the Sailor Man, still is not quite in the public domain yet. I think it's about another year before he enters public domain, which is why Massive Whatnot is pushing ahead with a licensed Popeye comic while they still have it exclusively, and also why they seem to be getting a little more creative with how they portray him. This is Marcus Williams, who is the illustrator and the creator of the writer, and it's called I Lie Popeye, which I think is supposed to tell the story of how Popeye lost one of his eyes. Okay, hopefully it's more interesting than how Nick Fury in the MCU lost his eye. I'm sure it will be. That's not a very high bar to surpass. This actually debuts on Free Comic Book Day in May and will hopefully be followed by a new manga-style series, so long as it sells well enough to justify it. Check it out for yourself. It's over on page 182 in the Massive Comics section. It's got a real manga-style artwork to it. I think it looks great, and it could be fun. I Lie Popeye from Whatnot Massive.
This is Nick with a pick from the main previews catalog. This is on page 206. In the Dark Horse section, it is Kanto, A Place Like Home, number 1, written by David M. Boer with art by Drew Zucker. Now, this is something like the fourth miniseries, and there was maybe like a special one-shot or two in there. But this is promising to be the finale series to their Shrouded Man saga, which is beginning at Dark Horse Comics. It made a transition from IDW last year, and here's what the solicitation says about it in general, though. The tiny clockwork knight returns after making the ultimate choice to save his people above all else. He has amassed allies in the war against the Shrouded Man, but even an army may not be enough to stop the evil sorcerer's quest to conquer Kanto's people. Fighting to save New Arcana won't be easy, but nothing ever is for the brave Kanto. This fan-favorite comic fantasy continues with the miniseries Kanto, A Place Like Home, by Eisner and GLAAD-nominated writer David M. Boer and fan-favorite artist Drew Zucker. It's a great all-ages story, you know, set in these sets of miniseries. So even if you don't collect these in individual issues, you can always go back, grab the trade paperbacks. They're just excellent art and a fun stories all along. And they promise here that this will be sort of bringing their total arc to a conclusion. This is Nick with a pick from the main previews catalog, this time from page 207. In the Dark Horse section, it's Into the Unbeing, part 1, number 1. Now, this is written by Zach Thompson, art by Hayden Sherman. Hayden Sherman art is the number one thing that's selling me on this. But I would criticize this even before I tell you what the solicitation says, because why are you advertising something as your whatever series, part 1, and then this is issue number 1. So this is like part of a mini-series of mini-series is basically what this is telling you, instead of just making this an ongoing series to tell your whole story. Anyway, but this does sound interesting to me, and hopefully they can get their logistics figured out. It says, a group of climate scientists working in a remote base camp on the Australian outback discover an impossible landform. They venture inside, expecting the unexpected, and the titular Unbeing delivers. True to the traditions of cosmic horror, they discover an anomalous environment that defies everything they think they know about the world, from critically acclaimed writer Zach Thompson and visionary artist Hayden Sherman. Check it out, 32 pages, $3.99. Sounds like there's probably some zany stuff going on, which I would say more of like the scratchy art style of Hayden Sherman should probably play pretty well too.
This is Jason, and my next pick on Previews Catalog on page 210 from Dark Horse Comics, it's The Writer Number One. It says, in a dark turn, comic book writer Stan Siegel's life dives into a neo-Nazi occult nightmare. Orchestrated by legendary Josh Gad and the Berkowitz brothers, the writer plunges Stan into a world of Jewish folklore and magic. Amid demonic chaos and high-speed chases, Stan's hunger for answers unveils hidden identities, setting off a desperate race against time in this thrilling saga. To combat the rising tide of terror, Stan must become the hero from his pages. So it kind of struck a chord with me because I've always wondered, you know, like if I'm writing a story, like what happens, or who, if someone's writing a story, like what if that author becomes the hero of the story? Like Sir Arthur Conan Doyle becomes the hero of a Sherlock Holmes story or one of his, you know, other short stories and things like that. And I read an article on the series, and it looks like it's just a 4-issue miniseries. They definitely sound like it's something up my alley by the description. They considered a mix of Indiana Jones and Back to the Future with a little bit of mythology mixed in there. So it definitely sounds like a fun ride. And so I think I'm going to check this out. Didn't know if anybody else, you know, might like that solicit there, but I almost missed it. And then when I came back through, I was like, wait a minute, this looks like an interesting story. So I look forward to seeing what direction they take this and how the writer hopefully becomes the hero that he always dreamed of in his own book.
Hi, guys. It's Chris Myers again. I'm in back of the preview catalog. I'm on page 210. It's from Dark Horse. The title is Yellow. It's a graphic novel with the writer and artist is Jay Martin. It's a black and white, 208 pages. The solicit says it's set in an alternate future amid a second civil war. Wounded infantryman Nick Carson flees the battlefield and escapes across the wasteland of war-torn America. Branded a coward and marked for death, his only hope is to get to the other side. And the route takes him through a strange, ravaged country where power plants lay destroyed and once great cities have gone dark, and America at war with itself. Yellow explores what happens when society falls apart, when there's no law and order. Do we fall to our basic instincts?
What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick here. My last one in my book, my last pick in my previous book here. We're on page 217. Yes, I am a big Ninja Turtle head, and they're coming out with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Black, White, and Green, number one. Sweet. Writer is Paulina Gananchua. I probably screwed that up. That's all good. And various. So there's going to be like minis. So if you were ever, like I said before, if you read these black, whites, and colors, there are a bunch of mini stories. So this is going to be cool. I'm saying it's going to be cool because there's a 40th anniversary cover. There is a bunch of mini stories written by random people, which is going to be pretty cool. Declan Shalvey is an awesome artist. So, it's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles like you've never seen them before. This special series gathers up some of comics' most eclectic and exciting talent to bring their takes on TMNT to the page, taking their characters back to their origins in black and white independent comics, but with a touch of green. Yeah, they were on Mirage first, 1984, when I was born, so I am 40 just like they are. Thrilled to all new adventures by the likes of Paulina and Declan Shalvey and more, with covers by Shalvey, Paulina, I can't say her last name, and James Stokey. I'm guessing Stokey's the 40th. Oh, no, he's a B. So I'm guessing Paulina is going to be the 40th anniversary cover. 44 pages, full color, if you consider green a full color, $5.99. I gladly pay that just to get this book. I'm probably going to try to shoot for the 40th anniversary. You know it's going to be like a 1 in 10, 1 in 25, but I'll do it. Like I said, it is on page 217 in the main previews book. That's it for me. Thank you, guys. Hopefully you guys, you know, record one on your... I tried recording on my phone recently. All the recordings come up as MP4s, and they do not copy over to MP3s as much as I tried to change it. So I don't know how to record it on your phone anymore. I record it on Audacity, and that might be the barrier. Maybe we'll talk to John and see if he has a way to convert them from MP4s to MP3s. I don't know. But we'll see. We'll hit you guys on the next one. Thank you, guys. Peace.
Hi, this is Marvin, also known as Viking Joker. I'm on page 225 of the Previews catalog, and I am in the Alien Books section. Alien Books has recently taken over Valiant. I don't know particulars behind that. I'm not sure why that happened, but it seems like it's infused them with maybe some new money because they're putting out some more stuff. Valiant has kind of been limping along for a while. So I'm here to talk about Ray, the Book of Dark, issue 1 of 2, coming out from Alien Books. It's 32 pages, $4.99, coming out May 29th. I stopped at this because I have on and off read the recent Rye books. Ray? I don't know how you say his name. Ray? Let's go with Ray. And so I'm familiar, and this is a miniseries that's supposed to be wrapping up what Dan Abnett had been doing with this character most recently. So if you haven't been around for it, maybe it's not for you, but it's only 2 issues. I'm going to jump in and see how this concludes. The solicit reads, "Hold on to your seats as Ray and Ray Jin face off against their ultimate nemesis, the Sinister Dark. Brace yourselves as the storytelling maestro Dan Abnett returns triumphantly to conclude his epic run on the Ray in this miniseries." So yeah, I'm going to definitely check it out. $4.99 is not cheap, but that seems to be the normal. But it's only 2 issues, so it's a pretty low commitment. I'm in on it.
This is Nick with another pick from the main previews catalog, this time from page 240. I'm looking at Mezzo, The Trial of Rodin, number 1. Now, this is a continuation of kind of a set of stories that started being told a couple years ago. As I mentioned, this is the third installment of that. So if you haven't had a chance to look at this property before, definitely go check it out. You can find some preview art for this specific issue on the main previews website, but you can also find some preview art out there, like on Amazon or whatever, from the past 2 volumes of it. It's a take on the mythical setting of stories with like rises and falls of various empire factions and, you know, heroic characters doing things like that, might and myth type stories. But this is in a Mesoamerican context. And let me read to you the solicitation for this part here, just to give you an idea of what they're going with the storytelling. But definitely check out the property if you haven't before. Writer here is Tyler Chin Tanner. Art is by Val Rodriguez. Says, in the aftermath of war, the Tzalekul Empire has reclaimed its dominance over the land of Mezzo. But there is a traitor in the midst. Rodin, the once faithful soldier, showed mercy to the enemy by aiding their escape. Now he faces judgment before the Almighty Kul, who will come to his defense. Old friends, fellow soldiers, and even bitter rivals will decide the fate of the man who once risked everything to save them all. This is part 1 of 5, 32 pages, and $4.99.
Hey, this is James with my final pick in the previews catalog. I keep on wanting to say the Marvel previews. Just a bad tick because I do Marvel first. But this is the regular previews catalog. I'm in the back half on page 248 where I'm in the AWA section. And there is a new book that's starting called Death Ratioed One Shot. So it's a one shot. You're not in for very long. By the way, I will say, just so you know, there's You and I, number 4 of 6, J. Michael Straczynski. I don't think I did a clip on that, but that's taking place in the Resistance universe. I already read the first issue. It's fantastic. It's pretty good. I'll probably talk about it in the monthly spotlight. We'll see. But this one, Death Ratioed One Shot, it reminded me of something I saw on the Orville on the TV series. And we've seen it other places. I think Black Mirror had an episode on this type of stuff. We've all seen these types of stories. But so it's not completely original, but if it's done well, it can be really good. Written by Mark Russell, illustrated by Lacey, L-A-C-I, Lacey. No clue. But I'm looking at the interior. It looks decent. Colored by Marco Lesko. And in this futuristic dark comedy by Eisner and Ringo Award-winning writer Mark Russell, life and death are ruled by social media. One too many dislikes and you're dead. Sounds like cancel culture that's going on, honestly. When Arnold wakes from a coma 20 years into the future, he discovers the government is a thing of the past, and society is now entirely ruled by social media. That sounds like hell on earth to me. Literally, enough likes and upvotes can unlock fame and fortune, but watch your step, enough thumbs down, clicks, and the nifty metal collar around your neck explodes, and you're dead. Now confused and running on his last leg, Arnold must navigate a hazardous obstacle course in which social media clicks provide the only safe refuge, aware that the slightest online misstep can be fatal. Sounds freaking cool. Sounds like the world we live in so many layers. Not exactly, but not where you're dead, but I'll go off on a little bit. But $6.99 is the price. It's kind of expensive, $7. It is square bound cardstock, and it is 48 pages, so it's a little bit bigger. There's a few different things in here that just speak to me. When you're talking about a world ruled by social media, so many people, me included at times, we live in our own like social echo chambers. You know, you like certain things and dislike other things. And you see this in our comic world, and you see this with people. You see that I've even seen it at times in the Slack community, believe it or not, or on forums, comic forums, or just in podcasts. These creators only like these types of people because they have the same political views, or these people only like these types of people, and they try to cancel each other out. I'm not going to buy this guy's stuff because he believes in this. I'm not going to buy this guy's stuff because he believes in that. Oh, this person's this person's that. It kind of sounds like something like a hellish world that we're living in. And I try to be a little bit of a voice of moderation. I have people in my family that are extreme right. I have people in my family that are extreme left. And I really try to be in the middle. And literally, I don't care if it's a comics gate person. If it's a good book, I'll read it. I don't care. It's not going to offend me, tick me off. And I don't care if it's the ultra lib person who has pink hair. And if it's a good story, I like it. And that's just who I am. I'll read James Tynion, even though he's a gay man. I don't care. I'll read Mark Russell, who's pretty liberal, I think. I don't care. At the same time, I'll read some Comicsgate stuff. And I still miss the art from Green Lantern. I can't even think of the guy's name who kind of got canceled. And it's all really sad. I mean, we talked about this in our book club recently, which was kind of funny, is that we're getting reprints of the whole Amalgam universe. And two of the books are left off because someone did some horrible stuff. I honestly don't know. I don't want to know. But because of that, DC's not reprinting the two books. Has nothing to do with that, but I kind of understand. But at the same time, we're all talking. We're like, one day something's going to happen and some letterer is going to get caught for doing something that is just so offensive that now you're going to have 3,000 issues that can't be reprinted in the world we live in. And this comic is kind of speaking about that in a different term. It's a social media, but it bleeds into so many things that people just aren't tolerant. And it's really sad. And people live in silos, and people don't even look and talk at each other. Like there's people who I know who are left or right, who I will talk to both of them, and those people won't talk to each other and get almost offended. And literally, if you communicate and talk to people, you realize people are people. And people have kids, people have families, people have hopes, people have dreams, and the things that you may be offended by are kind of like silly and trivial, because when you get down to the core of who a human is or who a person is, it doesn't matter if they're from Russia, it doesn't matter if they're from India, you're pretty similar. I mean, there may be cultural differences, but people are people. And the thing that keeps us all apart is tribalism and communication. Nobody wants to talk to each other. And that's literally what this comic's dealing with, and I hope. We shall see. But that being said, I wanted to go off and say thank you so much to everyone who sends in clips. I want to thank John for hosting and editing and everything he does. And I listen to this preview spotlight before I send in my order form to Eric every month, because it helps me to pick up some things or add some things or actually even cancel some things that were on my list. And we may be doing, I'm thinking about doing something, posting something in the Slack channel. But if we can get it up to like 10 listeners that are sending in clips, 10 unique people, not 10 clips total, I might be throwing some names into a hat and mailing off an omnibus to a winner. So if we can get some more people participating, more people joining in these clips, and we get it up to 10, I'm going to put the names in a hat and I'm going to mail out an omnibus to someone just as a winner. Hopefully, I want to hear all of you guys. It only takes a minute to send in a clip. You don't have to send in 10. Send in one. I don't care. I want to hear your voice, hear what you like. And hopefully we get some more people sending in some clips. And until next time, see you guys on the Slack. Bye. Bye.
Brawlinator again, and while I know this pick may not be for everyone, I would be remiss not to mention it, particularly with Easter Sunday fast approaching at the end of the month. This was first printed back in 2018. It's being resolicited here, and it is The Gospel of Jesus Christ, a visual presentation. And this is a great comic if you're a Christian, and in just a few pages tells you everything you need to know about being saved and why. Scott McDaniel is the creator, and you may remember his work from Nightwing, Daredevil, Batman, Green Arrow, Elektra, and I think Scott McDaniel did several other titles. The art and writing here are excellent. The message is effectively communicated without being forced on you, and while not everyone may appreciate it, I think many will find it quite useful and will want to share this comic with others. The Bible quotations are simple to read, include verses that I've read and heard many times in church over the years. They're all nicely presented and represented here. Now, it's actually a comic that could benefit many people who might feel lost and are looking for solutions in their spiritual lives. That sounds like something you might be interested in and not too heavy. Check it out. It's on page 256, down in the corner of this month's previews. Brawlinator again. I wanted to mention another reprint, also on the same page, 256. This one is called Militia. It's by the great Chuck Dixon. And there aren't many comics today that deal with the modern war in Afghanistan. Most comics would rather deal with superheroes, superpower mass murderers, metal-faced tyrants, and whatnot. None really want to discuss things like child soldiers in Africa, or human trafficking, or even things like sexism in the American military. But with so many military activities underway around the world, I wonder why comics have stopped discussing our military, either in a good or bad light. Well, Chuck Dixon's Militia will change that. Militia deals with a Melissa May, a young, reckless Army Ranger who gets into the aftermath of a mission where she single-handedly rescued a group of kidnapped young girls from rebels and child soldiers. And her heroism compels or forces the U.S. military, the leaders of the military, to embrace modern feminism for the benefit of public opinion. And so they establish a force whose task will be to liaise with female non-combatants in conflict areas. Now, this series first hit comic shops in 2019 from Black Box Comics. I think it was four issues. I somehow missed getting one of them, which I have not been able to find that issue on the secondary market for a reasonable price. But what I read was brilliant, and I think this collected trade is worth checking out. You can see it for yourself. It's Militia, the trade paperback by Chuck Dixon. It's over on page 256 of this month's previews.
This is Jason again with another pick from the previews catalog on page 259 from Bottle Rocket Comics. It's Psycho KO's Colossal Comic Compendium. Super Earth's greatest hero has arrived, and his name is Psycho KO. Prepare for an exhilarating ride as you dive into the action-packed world of this fourth-world-breaking pinball-addicted motorcycle-riding superhero as he battles wacky characters and giant monsters. With the help of his guide, Peachy Keen, and their pet, Meemop, makes it. Take a trip with Psycho in this vintage Sunday morning cartoon-inspired collection that will make you want to stay in your pajamas and camp out in the living room with a big bowl of cereal. Watch as Psycho faces off against his oldest rival, Kuda Kano, in an epic surf competition, but things take a wild turn when Kuda unleashes a remote-control gigantic squid, turning the friendly challenge into a dangerous battle for supremacy. Buckle up, readers, because this collector's item is the inspiration for an upcoming animated pilot featuring John Heder and the cast of Napoleon Dynamite. So this is written with the cover art as well as the art inside by Rob Feldman. And I definitely enjoyed this series. It was initially printed through Alterna Comics several years ago in 2-3-issue miniseries. And I reached out to the creator because I was curious if this had new content or was this a reprint of the old books that he'd already done. And so he did respond back that this is the 6-issue miniseries, the 6 issues of 2-3-issue miniseries that are in this book. So it is essentially a reprint for that, but it is a fun Saturday morning level cartoon. And I know I had spoken of Space Ghost earlier, but this comic series definitely makes you think of those Hanna-Barbera cartoons, whether you discover them on Saturday morning or Saturday night, like I did on Cartoon Network, where the characters are kind of
goofy and, you know, kind of feels like it's set in that, you know, that 60s time of just interesting characters, crazy plots, and somehow the character has to find a way through. So I definitely recommend this if you are a Saturday morning Hanna-Barbera classics cartoon fan. Hi, this is Jason with my next pick in the previews catalog on page 263 from Caliber Entertainment. It's The Worlds of H.P. Lovecraft, The Call of Cthulhu. It says, an all-new authorized adaptation of one of H.P. Lovecraft's most popular weird tales. Professor George Angel spent decades researching the time-scattered clues of a mysterious cult. Then suddenly, Angel died. Or was he killed? Francis Thurston insists on finding out what really happened and believes Angel's research is the key, a loathsome, abominable secret that has driven those who have learned it to madness or suicide. But insanity and death pale to the ravening, eons-old horror waiting patiently to be released upon humanity. So this is one of the better H.P. Lovecraft stories where you actually get to meet the character of Cthulhu, which has been parodied, you know, multiple times over the years. It's a pretty good story, and I'm hoping that they'll be true with this adaptation, this comic adaptation to the story, because the story is a pretty good one in the way that it builds, where you have suspense, you know, with all the events, you know, going around the world, like essentially like there's outbreaks of violence and people supposedly going, you know, insane and things like that in different parts of the world. And all in the meantime, Thurston is trying to do research from his uncle's, trying to find out what happened to his uncle as he's going through the research that his uncle did. And there's a couple of chapters in it that are really good. One in which there's an adventure of down in New Orleans, like in the swamps, which is, you know, one of my favorite settings. And they did a good job with that. And then there's another one set where there's a ship that there's only one survivor, and he tells of the creature that they ran into. And so just a very good story. It does a good job of building, and it just kind of builds to a crescendo to where at the very end, the nephew who's doing the discovery, trying to figure out what happened to his uncle, at the very end, he's like, oh my goodness, I found out too much. And it's basically right around that time that the story ends. But a very good story. I hope they're able to do well with the adaptation, and I highly recommend it if you're an H.P. Lovecraft fan. This is Jason with another pick from the previews catalog on page 265 from Classics Illustrated. It's Classics Illustrated, Rip Van Winkle, and Sleepy Hollow. For $9.95, it says, in pre-revolutionary New York, Rip Van Winkle unknowingly falls asleep for 20 years and awakens to find the world irrevocably changed. Then, strange doings are afoot in the village of Sleepy Hollow, where legend tells of a headless horseman. Classic Illustrated tells these wonderful tales of Washington Irving in colorful comic strip form, offering an excellent introduction for younger readers. So, you know, Washington Irving is probably one of my favorite American authors, at least in terms of short stories. I was introduced to the Sleepy Hollow legend years prior. I think my dad had like read it to me. And then I watched the Disney adaptation, which at the time, of course, scared the wits out of me. But then when I was older, I remember, you know, how much I enjoyed it and went back and read it, as well as Rip Van Winkle. And I think this is a reprint of like from the 60s, I believe, is when the Classics Illustrated issue for this one just, you know, had come out. But I thought they did a good job both with the art and the story. If you've never read those stories, I think they did a really good job of adapting it. I think that Washington Irving did a wonderful job in terms of the way he was able to, you know, writing in the early 1800s, because he was born in the 1700s, but he did a good job of, even in early America, he was able to put that nostalgia out there of like the way things were before, you know, before New York became, you know, what it was. Used to be part of the Dutch or the Holland Empire. And so I think he did a great job of that. You know, of course, Rip Van Winkle, part of the story takes place before the revolution, part of it afterwards, and just the disorientation that, you know, Rip Van Winkle, when he comes back to his little village, like he doesn't understand all the changes. And that was just 20 years. And so, and it just makes me think of all the changes and how, you know, it makes me wonder how, like with the older generations, when all of the changes that they've seen, like if they
had stepped away and then come back in, like they wouldn't believe all the technology that we have. And so, and just how, you know, culture had changed, you know, it had become more Americanized and things like that. And the same thing with Sleepy Hollow. He captured a time where it was just a Dutch settlement, you know, kind of an isolated Dutch settlement where they had most of their culture, including their ghost stories, and mixed with some of the legends of the Revolutionary War. And then, of course, there came the legend of the Headless Horseman. And so great, two great classic stories. And I really appreciate the author. And I think this will be a great book to pick up if you're remotely interested in Washington Irving stories.
Marvin again, and I'm still in previews. Actually, all my clips will be out of the previews catalog. I'm on page 274, 275 in the distillery section. Featured item here is The Blood Brothers Mother, number one, by Brian Azzarello and Eduardo Rizzo, a team that you're very, well, most people are probably familiar with from 100 Bullets, which is a great series from DC Vertigo. Don't love the price on this. It's an $8.99 book. It will be a prestige format. It's 48 pages, so it's a little longer and it'll be a little bigger. At least I think it will be based on the previous distillery books I've purchased. They're coming in a magazine size format, although it doesn't really list that here. It just says prestige format. But I don't know, some people don't love the magazine size, but I'm pretty cool with it. I've got the space for it, and I don't know, usually presents pretty well. So, new series debut from the team behind 100 Bullets. In the Old West, three children set off across the wild Texas frontier to rescue their mother, kidnapped by a ruthless outlaws who gunned down their preacher father. Throughout their journey, they'll face harsh elements of an unforgiving landscape, deadly animals hungry for blood, merciless bounty hunters, and so much more, all in the relentless quest to rescue their family. They'll learn the terrible cost of revenge, not just in lives, but in how it stains the soul. While revenge may be satisfying in the moment, it leaves yearning behind that lasts a lifetime, and once you taste it, nothing else is ever so sweet. So that was the solicit, obviously. Hey, it's a Western. How often do we get a Western? Let's do this. A couple of pages there. Don't really see a whole lot of art. We're just seeing covers. But it looks like you can scan it. Actually, go a couple of pages back. You'll get some of the interior. And there's also a code on here that you can scan that looks like it might take you to some more information about this book if you're so interested. But I'll check it out. It says new series, so I don't know how many issues we're talking here. At $8.99, I would like it to be about three. But I don't know if it's ongoing or what, but we're definitely going to check it out.
This is Nick with a pick from the main previews catalog. This from page 298 in the Fantagraphics section. And it says at the top of this page, shipping in May. So I'm assuming that this collection here is coming out in May. It is the Atlas Comics Library, number 3, In the Days of the Rockets. This is, of course, including a lot of old reprint material from the old Atlas Comics era in the previous time before it became Marvel with all of its focus on the superheroes and genres at that time. This is $49.99, a hardcover collection, 336 pages. The format size here is 8 3/4 by 11.6 inches, so a little bit of the oversized format. And it says here that this is in 1951, in the vein of Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon, Atlas Comics launched their own pulp hero set in the futuristic year 2000, Captain Jet Dixon. Then in 1953, Hank Chapman and Joe Manili gazed further into the future, 2075, envisioning the adventures of Speed Carter, Spaceman, unseen in 70 years, scanned in high resolution, restored to perfection, packaged as one extra-sized, beautiful hardcover volume. In the Days of the Rockets will open a wormhole to the early Cold War four-color era of futuristic science fantasy. Some of the names associated with this, here we have Hank Chapman, Joe Manili, Mike Sikowski, and more.
This is Jason with another pick, this time on page 305 of the previews catalog from Gemstone Publishing. It's the Overstreet Comic Book Price Guide to Lost Universes, Volume 2. So a few months ago, or maybe even over a year ago, they came out with Volume 1, which had more of the classic older you know, universes that had, like, from Charlton Comics and older books and series from the, you know, 70s and 80s that had been canceled over time, or the companies went out of business and the stories just kind of stopped there. I think they did a great job of really exploring some of those and reminding me of some companies that in storylines and universes that I had forgotten even existed. This one seems to be more of a modern take, and even though it does look like it covers Fawcett Comics Marvel family, but there are several groups and comics and stories that seem like more from the, you know, from the modern, like 80s and on. But it says the groundbreaking second volume of the Overstreet Comic Book Price Guide to Lost Universes takes a tour through a whole new set of comic book worlds that have come and gone and sometimes come again. Fawcett's Marvel family, Marvel 2099, original Chaos Comics, most famous for, of course, Lady Death, Captain Canuck, Badger and Nexus, DNA Agents, Tim Truman Scout, Boom's Stan Lee Universe, and others. Every comic listed in this book is pictured, and there are plenty of examples of original art as well, making it a hybrid of the guide and the acclaimed photo journals, with covers of Spider-Man 2099 by Butch Geis, colors by Hi-Fi's Brian Miller, Lady Death by Diego Bernard, colors by C.C. De La Cruz, and Scout by Tim Truman. So I definitely enjoyed the first volume, and even though this one seems to be a little bit more modern, I look forward to seeing, you know, what they have in this offering. The interesting thing is with Marvel 2099, you know, they've recently done where they've kind of gone back to the well in that universe, but for a lot of these other ones, it feels like that it's pretty much done, at least for now. But never say never in comic books, and it looks like it's a pretty good amount. I mean, it's 336 pages, soft cover, looks like it's about $30. So I look forward to checking that out and hope it's another good outing from Overstreet Comics. This is Jason again with another pick in the previews catalog on page 326. It's Sherlock Holmes and Doctor Was Not, soft cover. It says, imagine that Sherlock Holmes' best friend, roommate, fellow investigator, and biographer was indeed a doctor, just not John H. Watson. As we see different doctors from history and literature, such Dr. Jekyll, Dr. Van Helsing, or gunslinger the Doc Holliday, occupy the vacancy at 221B Baker Street. 12 mind-bending tales by talent genreists, including Nancy Holder, Dennis O'Neill, Will Murray, and others. So I've always been a huge Sherlock Holmes fan, classic Sherlock Holmes, and I do like the pastiches where they will mix him in with other characters like Jack the Ripper and, you know, other contemporary either characters, real life or fictional characters. And so I think it would be an interesting take with having him pair up with Dr. Jekyll and definitely Van Helsing. So maybe we'll have some vampires there, or a little bit of a Western with Doc Holliday. So this is an anthology and it's prose, so it's not a comic. And it looks like it's a pretty hefty amount. It's 334 pages. So I look forward to see what direction they take it. And I like the idea of what if Sherlock Holmes had a different roommate other than Dr. Watson? How would his adventures have gone? And would he have had different, even better adventures?
It's Marvin again, and I'm on page 338 in the Mad Cave section. I don't think I've ever purchased anything from Mad Cave. That's just a side note. It says Mugshots number 1 of 4. The tagline here says, blood is thicker than water, especially when you're drowning in it. I don't know these creatives. I was just flipping through the book, and I don't know, the art, the coloring caught my eye. So author is Jordan Thomas. Artist is Chris Matthews with letterer Lucas Gattoni. Here's the solicit. Brighton, UK, 2008. The kidnapping of a young woman starts a chain of events that will set con artists, gangsters, killers, and corrupt police on a collision course of violence. Meet John Bannon, a self-proclaimed bastard and loving uncle. In this tale of family trauma, betrayal, murder, and revenge that threatens to bring the city's whole underworld down. It's got a release date of May 8th. It's 36 pages full color. It's considered mature. Sounds like it based on that solicit. And it does come in at a whopping $5.99. It's a little bit longer than your normal, but still $5.99 is pretty expensive. Again, don't know anything about Mad Cave, so I don't know. I'm assuming it's a quality book, materials-wise. I mean, there's what appears to be more art on page 339 at the top. Kind of reminds me of Tim Sale, maybe? I don't know. Just that minimal color palette. It looks like it's going to go for a like a three-color vibe. I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know what that's called. I'm sure there's a term for it, and somebody could correct me on the forum and tell me what that's called. Go for it. Anyway, it's called Mugshots, and it sounds fun to me. I'm going to check it out.
My next pick is on page 342 of the Diamond Previews. It is from Magma Comics, who's creative to the core. It's like, wow, what a great great slogan. Anyways, I know nothing about Magma Comics, and that's comics with an X, because why not? But this is The Scale Trade number 1. It's written by Steve Orlando. I know James doesn't particularly like Steve Orlando's work, but the concept here looks pretty good. It's about a modern-day world similar but different from our own. The big difference is dragons exist. They're highly respected. They're endangered. And there's a federal agency tasked with managing and protecting the dragons and stuff. And our protagonist, whose name isn't given here, which is a shame, and it doesn't matter, we'll find out sooner or later, he finds out that that entire system is corrupt, and he's going to go save the dragons on his own. Now, I don't know if this is an ongoing, a mini-series or what. I'm going to assume it's a mini-series, but it looks like an interesting concept. And the cover we've got looks pretty good. We've got cover A here on page 342 by the actual interior artist. Anyways, it looks interesting. It looks different. I'm looking for something new. Hopefully this will work for me. We'll find out. Once again, that's The Scale Trade number 1 from Magma Comics on page 342 of the Diamond Previews.
Brawlinator again, and for my next pick, I'm looking at page 346. It's called Of Dust and Blood, right there at the top. This is also a resolicit you might have missed. It's a thrilling western that deals with the Battle of Little Bighorn, as seen through the eyes of Greenhaw, a 7th Cavalry scout, on one side of the battlefield, and Slowhawk, a young Lakota warrior, on the other. This beautiful book also features Sitting Bull, General Custard, and Crazy Horse, as well as generous portions of meticulously researched history in the story on every page. The book's art's been lauded as tremendously beautiful, as I've already said. Some critics say each page is worthy of hanging on the wall as a solo piece. If you love westerns, American history, or just gorgeous comic book art, check out Of Dust and Blood over on page 346 of this month's previews.
This is Jason with my next pick in the previews catalog on page 360. It's Tales of the Mysterious Traveler. This was a great radio series that came out decades ago, and so it's considered like old-time radio, and they did a great job adapting these, and so I'll kind of read the solicit there. But with the radio show, it had a guy who basically, when you get on the train, he's ready to sit down and tell you a scary story, and at the end, he's like, oh yeah, I have another story. And then it's like, oh, you have to get off here? Well, maybe I'll see you next time. I ride this train every week. And so it's a really, really cool old-time radio series. And this series was adapted by Steve Ditko, who helped to kind of create this character for comics. And it was much different than other comics. Basically, it was a similar kind of a mysterious character. And you get to see like some of the classic like Marvel mystery titles. Very similar to that he ended up doing, you know, later on. So this collects the first 5 issues of Mysterious Traveler from August 1956 to January 1957. It's $32.99, and definitely you see some early Steve Ditko here, who went on to do well with Amazing Adult Fantasy and other of those Marvel, those classic Marvel mystery titles right before the heroes came. So highly recommend this if you're an old-time radio fan, if you remember that series, or if you're a Steve Ditko fan.
My next pick is on page 377 of the Diamond Previews. It is Biographics, George Perez, softcover from University Press of Mississippi. Now, this is a $20 soft cover. It's a reference book. It's obviously all about George Perez. I'm a huge fan. I'm looking forward to it. And it's interesting because there's a comment in the solicitation of, though Perez's style is highly recognizable, his contributions to comic art in history have not been fully acknowledged. I'm curious about that because I feel he's gotten, George Perez has gotten his due as well deserved as being a huge artist at Marvel, DC, cross-gen, just to name a few things, as well as, you know, all the other work he's done over his career. So to say he's not been fully acknowledged, I'm hoping to learn some new stuff in this. I'm looking forward to it. Again, big fan of George Perez. Hopefully this is a good biography of him and will further my appreciation of George Perez's terrific work over the decades. So once again, that's Biographics George Perez softcover from University Press of Mississippi on page 377 of the Diamond Previews. And my next pick is actually the very next item on page 377, also from University Press of Mississippi. It is Copyright Vigilantes, Intellectual Property in the Hollywood Superhero, 1998 to 2018 softcover. That's not exactly a title that rolls off the tongue, but it's going to use the superhero blockbusters as allegories of intellectual property relations and how all those characters that were in those movies from DC and particularly Marvel and stuff, how it kind of compares or contrasts, I guess, to the work for hire nature and all of that, and how these things have made tons of money for the companies and definitely a lot less so from the actual creators of those works. So I'm curious, it's saying it's going to weave together legal analysis, stuff on political economy, close readings of the movies and stuff like that. So I'm honestly really not sure what to make of this other than it sounds really intriguing. It is a $30 book, so 50-50 I wait and pull this on Amazon so I can read it on my Kindle or something like that down the line. I don't know. But it's something that definitely caught my eye and looked interesting, and I'm curious about how all this copyright stuff, because I know there are certain things where not only are these characters company property, some are determined to be derivative of others, therefore the creators get less, all these sorts of things. And I'm really hoping they explore all of the different ways these companies have kind of, I don't say rigged the rules against the creators, but kind of have. Or maybe there's something else in there and I'll be enlightened by that. Anyways, this is Copyright Vigilantes. It's a soft cover, $30 from University Press of Mississippi on page 377. Of the Diamond Previews.
This is Jason, and with my last pick in the previews catalog on M53 in the toys and gaming section, and there also is a little preview of that in page M4, but it's the Prehistoric Scenes model kits. And in this one in particular, I'm talking about the Cave Bear kit. These kits are really pretty cool. They were originally done, I think they might have started maybe in the 60s, and this particular series is from the Prehistoric Scenes, the 1970s series. And so it had, you know, pretty much character or creatures who are not, you know, no longer around, but around in the prehistoric times. And my dad kind of got me into these, and he had a few from when he was a kid and ended up buying me a few over the years. And he was mainly into dinosaurs, though we did love the Universal Monsters as well. But it's basically a classic, you know, like a model kit where you put the character together. Well, in this case, the cave bear, you put it together and it's, you know, it has like a little bit of a stand where you can, at least as a kid, you can, you know, use your imagination and be like, oh yeah, he's on the cave, you know, the cave is under his feet. And you just imagine like, you know, the day-to-day life of the bear. And obviously they have the saber-toothed tiger as well. But like I said, one of my favorite gifts that I had was a series called, it was Monogram. So I think they had Aurora, and then there was another company called Revel, and then Monogram. And then I ended up getting a T-Rex, which it was really good sized T-Rex and, you know, pretty much like fits in your whole lap. And so I just remember those and how much fun they were. They're fun putting together. So definitely if you have a child to sit down and put them together, I think that makes it worthwhile because you kind of make those memories. And then you just kind of use your imagination of, hey, this cave bear, you know, what was its territory? Was it in there hibernating, or
how did these skulls get on the floor of the cave and things like that. And so anyway, highly recommend that if you guys ever remember putting together those, whether it be the prehistoric ones with the animals or dinosaurs, or even the universal monsters that they did a little bit before that. This is Jason with my last pick for the month. This one is not in the previews catalog. This one is on fundmycomic.com, and it is called The Shadow Kingdom. And so it's fundmycomic.com/the-shadow-kingdom. It says, in the time before Atlantis sank, and the lands of the world were savage and untamed, one man would claim his destiny. It says, The Shadow Kingdom, adapted from the original story by Robert E. Howard, by Randy Zimmerman and Russ Leach. So this campaign, it does show that they're doing a limited edition print run. Looks like it's going to be $25 plus shipping, and their goal is to raise $5,000. Currently, as of this recording, they have about 22% raised of that. Now, if you don't know The Shadow Kingdom by Robert E. Howard, it's a Kull the Conqueror story, and it's actually been adapted a few different times in comic book format. And Kull the Conqueror number 2 by Marvel Comics in 1971, as well as the 2008 Dark Horse Comics series just called Kull. And those are very good adaptations. It's a classic story of Kull, and he definitely doesn't get his due. Most people just know of Conan and focus on Conan, but there was a time when you would mention Conan the Barbarian and Kull the Conqueror in the same breath in terms of the type of character that he is. So I will definitely link the campaign in the show notes in my post, but I highly recommend this if you are a Robert E. Howard fan. They do have a YouTube video that shows, a preview video that shows some of the completed art. So I highly recommend this, and hopefully they will reach their goal and be able to get that book out. So I'm looking forward to seeing how The Shadow Kingdom by Robert E. Howard, starring Kull, how it comes out in the final product.
Brawlinator again. And for my final pick, you are not going to see this in the previews catalog because this is a crowdfund comic that I'm working on. It is the long-awaited return of Steve Rude and Mike Barron's Eisner-winning creation, Nexus, in an all-new book called Nexus Scourge. This is Mike Barron's epic collision of the sci-fi and superhero genres in an all-new adventure, 500 years in the future, and this thing is beautiful. Facing an unknown threat, Nexus must get to the bottom of a string of disappearing planets that are vanishing from the night sky without a trace and almost no witnesses. This book was first announced last year, but Dark Horse Comics either had to delay it for 18 months or cancel it altogether in order to catch up with their delayed printing schedules. They'd been severely delayed ever since the pandemic. And then they had a deal with Mark Millar to start doing his archives that they had to get on or lose the deal. And so Mike Barron instead decided to self-publish it. And now we are launching a crowdfunding campaign, or actually multiple campaigns, on Kickstarter, Indiegogo, and Fund My Comic. You can check out some of the gorgeous art by Kelsey Shannon at BarronComics.com, which also gives you direct portals to all of the crowdfunding platforms. You can also sign up to get on the announcement list so you can be a first-day backer and get a cool art card when the campaigns launch, when you back the book. Again, this artwork's beautiful. The story's very clever and brutal, much like the very best Nexus stories. Check it out again, BarronComics.com. And that's it for me. Thanks again to John, James, Sam, Eric, Kay, and everyone that helps make the Comic Book Page podcast and the Slack channel possible. I say this every month. It's still so true. This is a great community, and I just encourage others to join in the discussion. I think James even offered this month to give away an omnibus if we get 10 people submitting this month. I'm sure we'll hit it. James, I do not want any of those omnibi. I've got plenty. Thank you, James. Give that to somebody new. I hope everybody is ready to have a great summer and lots of good reading, and I look forward to hearing your selections this month.
I hope everybody found something of interest in the various pre-order catalogs this month, and of course there are way too many of those catalogs, but that's where we're at. I want to thank Patrick, Drew, James, Jason, Brawlinator, Nicholas, Chris, and Marvin for sending in clips. Been a little while since we've seen Drew. Great to have him back and stuff. And yes, the clips from Chris were kind of cut off, but that's how they came, and that's the best I could do. I'm sorry. But I wanted to get him in there because I thought he had some good picks. We're only a few months away from Preview Spotlight 200. That's going to be in July. I'd like to get some more listeners involved. I think we had a great turnout in terms of number of clips, but it's still the same basic bunch of regulars as before. So I want to get some new voices and different opinions, and I'd like input as to if you're not sending in clips, why not? One thought I've had is we might change up the format from one item per clip to one clip per person, in which you just talk about as much as you want to, and that would alleviate the need of, okay, what catalog is it in, what page number is it in. As long as you've got it in the clip, you're fine. But you don't have to worry about a file naming convention or anything. Now, if we do that, the itemized show notes of, okay, what were they talking about and where can I find it, that will go away. And I'm a little concerned that we'll get a little more rambly sorts of clips, but that's okay too. I haven't decided if we'll make that change, but I'm tossing that out there as a possibility to see if that would lower the barrier to entry and get more people submitting clips. Because again, we're down to just the regulars every month and can't expect them to be doing it each and every month. And again, I'd like to get more voices and more opinions because that means we're going to cover more items, and I think that's just a good thing all the way around. The Preview Spotlight has an open submission policy. Sending in a clip is as easy as recording it on your computer or smartphone and then just sharing it with me either through the Dropbox link every month or just by emailing it. Sending in a single clip is fine. Again, I just want more voices and more participation in these episodes. Now, the deadline for the Preview Spotlight is always the second Saturday of the month. You can always check the main page of the Comic Book Page website for the latest information on the deadline and to sign up for email reminders. And the deadline for Preview Spotlight 197, covering the April solicitations, is going to be 9 a.m. April 13th. That's a Saturday. If you need a little more time, email me. Like today, I didn't get started on this until about noon, so if you need another few hours, or even if you need until the next day, I can usually work with that if I know it's coming. So, like I said, I'm trying to get more participation in these episodes, because really, they live or die based on listener participation. So with that, we'll call it an episode.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.